Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Anberg. Ohio State announced a landmark partnership with J.P. Morgan Chase, becoming the official bank and jersey patch sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. All 36 varsity sports will don a Chase Bank logo patch on their jerseys as part of a deal that will reportedly earn Ohio State nearly $17 million annually. AD Ross Bjork, President Ravi Bellamkonda, Head Football Coach Ryan Day, Head Women's Soccer Coach Lori Walker-Hawk, and J.P. Morgan Chase Columbus Location Leader Becky Griffin will speak to the media today at 2:30. College football, Ohio State's Julian Sand and Jeremiah Smith were named preseason All-Big Ten by the league. Sand, Smith, Chandler McClain, and Ryan Day represent the Buckeyes on day two of Big Ten Media Days Wednesday. This update sponsored by Vermeer Heartland. Vermeer Heartland opens in Columbus August 3rd. Get the Vermeer equipment you trust. Genuine parts and expert service. Visit VermeerHL.com.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And we're back. Brando Tuesday style. Rothman and Ice. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and the Loose Cannon. Boys, how we feeling?
What up? How can you not feel good today? And the reason that's why I'm asking that is because, AR, I'm here to tell you.
Oh, no.
I'm here to tell you.
You're doing a countdown clock on us here.
That football season has officially started, folks.
We made it. We made it to what?
We made it.
We got another guy requesting a trade in the pros. What did we make it to?
Training camps have officially begun. The vets are in the building. We got Big Ten Media Days popping off. We're here, folks.
I thought they said Big Ten Media Days only starts when Ohio State starts.
No, this is a three-day event now. Because Ohio State's speaking tomorrow, which we're planning on carrying Ryan Day live from Chicago tomorrow.
I love the hesitation in your voice.
I don't want to guarantee
there was a great disclaimer on that. Like, don't guarantee a thing.
If it doesn't happen, blame TLC. But that is the plan. Right. But yes, football season has officially started. You're not ready, but I'm here.
Matty.
I'm here.
A ball has not been snapped, thrown, kicked. It has not started.
It has started. The rookies reported over the weekend. The vets are reporting today. When's the Hall of Fame game? When are you going next week?
That would be a week from this Thursday.
We're here.
Last year it was July 31st.
That's what I'm saying.
So it would have been this Friday.
It's always on Thursday.
This year's July 31st is this Friday.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
I'm just saying how close we are to last year.
AR, just open up both arms and embrace it.
All right, next week.
Embrace it.
Let us get into August.
No.
The 28th of July. You were always the guy that says, like I say, well, football's great, but we know what comes after it.
We got to grind.
Crappy weather.
We got to the weather is part of it, but I'll stay inside and avoid all of that. I understand. You want to kick the can down the road just a little bit. In my mind.
Let it breathe.
Football season started today.
It's like, fine, you took the cork out of the wine. Let it breathe a little bit. Okay. Don't just guzzle the bottle.
A dry red.
You're in late July.
Like, white wine type of guy? What do you like over there? You guys, you know, nice little dinner at
I
the crib.
I don't really do wine, but when I do.
I drink Dosakis.
Dosakis? A sake bomb? Maybe you just created something. Dos Equis and sake.
Isn't that what our guy says in the Dos Equis
It's Dos Equis, and yes, he does say that. That's what I'm saying. You may have just invented a drink. Dos Equis and a sake bomb, and we're ready to go. Maddie's going to be at the hibachi place asking for Dos Equis.
Extra yum yum sauce, please.
No, that's right. I usually don't. What I was saying to you before, I usually don't bet hockey, but when I do, it's usually after a coach has been fired. All right, so
you're not ready. You're not ready.
No, I'm fine with it. Just nice dry white wine. That's fine. All right. I'm ready because apparently the money is still pouring in, so that's good.
Yeah, it is.
Patch Gate 2026, apparently, this is.
Here we go.
So Ohio State is just the latest school that's going to put a patch on the unis. Everybody's been talking about it. It's Chase Bank, so if they're paying all this money, the least I can do is mention their name. And every uniform across the 36 sports. We know what drives it, where the eyeballs are going to be, mostly on football. And so the logo will be on there, and the deal is worth according to reports, about $17 million. So why wouldn't Ross be open to taking this? It's not anything that I think is going to... Everyone is very sacred about unis. We talk about it all the time on how tradition has been sold, and maybe the last thing that might survive a little bit is some traditional uniforms for most of their games. We've done the alternate with Michigan. Nike pays a lot of money, and if they want to drive some excitement about selling more uniforms, because the last thing you can do in sales is stay the same. You got to have stuff to sell. You wear a green and yellow Reds hat. Like, you wear a Reds hat that basically is the colors of the Oakland Athletics.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they do that? To sell them.
Oh,
why do the Jackets come up with a St. Paddy's Day gear and hats? To sell them. Why do they have a third jersey? To sell them. Like, that's the whole point in all this. Not just to make their players feel good or whatever. They don't have a vote anyway. So, why not take the money? It's going to support the NIL. I don't know. And it says enhances the Buckeyes' overall competitive success. Okay, yeah, I guess money does that. And you'll take it. Now, the whole thing about the jersey is it's kind of sacred property. That's a rental space that you want to be very careful with. I would. But when it comes to the money, that's going to drive the conversation. If they were willing to offer $5 million, would they have taken it? Maybe not. I don't know what those negotiations are like. I really don't even know where the conversation starts. We've talked about, we've seen what it costs to put your name, company name on a stadium. Like the hundreds of, I don't even know where that starts,
crazy
the conversation.
Yeah,
so I'm wondering if you went to Ohio State and said, okay, we want to put our logo. First of all, it has to be the right company, it has to be the right fit, right? I don't know if anybody, I could be wrong on that. There has to be a line they draw a little bit on.
Yeah, I don't think if OnlyFans came a calling with the amount of money they have.
That's
their OnlyFans.
But so I mean, there's company, like a CEO whole administration.
All of those people. So they've made millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Off right? The fees that they're getting from
people that are performing. That's a brand you probably don't want to attach yourself to your point, if you're Ohio State. It was only a matter of time, in my mind, until something like this happened. This is happening everywhere around entertainment and sports right now. As you know, huge wrestling fan. You cannot turn on a WWE event or wrestling match and not see brands everywhere. I'm talking on the ring post, on the mat, on the announcer's table. This is where the sports and entertainment world is headed, because there's so much money that you can bring in to your building, your team, whatever it may be. And for Ohio State, the report that you mentioned for Pete Thamel, that extra $17 million that's going to come along with this thing, that's a massive win, especially when you compare it to what the Big 12 did with their deal with Monster, and how the whole conference is now splitting $20 million 15 or 16 million ways. This is a great look for Ross Bjork and everybody that made this happen when you compare it to what's happening with the Big 12. And so you read some of the stuff that's out there. It sounds like some of the athletes are going to have more NIL opportunities. Chase Bank, JP Morgan Chase, they're all over this 1922 club that's coming to Ohio Stadium as well. So we know there's some new things happening inside the shoe, and they're on board with that. Mm-hmm. And so this brand is obviously going to be well represented next to Ohio State. It's not going to bother me, the traditionalists. I can understand why this would be a little bit of a thorn in your side. I don't think it's the end of the world. And like we just discussed, if this is going to funnel more money, which it sounds like it will, into the football program and others, and I know for a lot of people, especially the football program, this is a good day.
It's a good day, I guess. They're getting money. It helps the program. You're right. You laid it out correctly. It's nothing that I would go crazy about. The logo's fine. The name is there. Remember, they actually, maybe in a little bit of irony, when they've given the mantra of every season, like some have been the Chase. So it actually, in a weird way, kind of fits.
Yeah.
And it's not blocking out anything. It's upper left, upper right, I guess. Yeah. So they already have the big logo there. You'll have the Nike swoosh on the other side, and away you go. So now there is the $17 million per year I was reading is more than pretty much every NBA jersey patch. Mm-hmm. I mean, any deal outside of the Lakers or the Knicks or Golden State. Now, the difference is this covers all 36 Ohio State teams, but we know that the value is going to come from football.
Yep.
But it just to kind of put it in perspective for people, that is more money than what other professional teams get for patch rental.
It sounds like this is
space
a big win for Ohio State. It sounds that way on the surface. We'll see in the years to come what type of impact this is going to have.
Well, how much do the athletes get from it?
Right. Fair question, right? And those are all things that we're going to have to find out in time. Was it Oklahoma State last year, AR, that tried to put like the QR code on the back of the jersey or the helmet, which I thought was creative, and then the NCAA came out and said no.
Like fund the program?
Yeah, like if you're an Oklahoma State fan watching the game, hey, scan this. You want to throw in $10 or whatever, help us out. And the NCAA said,
Grandma's Christmas cash. Forward it right over to us.
They said, no, you can't
we'll
do that.
We'll take that $50.
So I just think you got to keep up with the Joneses however you can. This is the game that's being played, and I think Ohio State is showing us that they're going to do or put forth their best effort to do so. And the combination of if a program like Ohio State has really good support financially connected to what they have already with the football stuff and the coaching, then that's where you want to be.
So as it's put by lawyers, I guess, so the jersey belongs to the school. The name on the back belongs to the athlete.
Okay.
And so the money that's getting funneled in, how would that get divided between the school and the player? Because he's wearing your uniform, but his name is on the back.
Yeah.
So technically, Chase is, well, who's ever toting the football, who's ever on the visual with his name on the back and Chase on the front, that means that athlete should be getting something based on, I mean, I know he doesn't have any legal standing on the uniform itself because that is Ohio State, but if the name is going to be on the back, then they're attaching a logo that athlete hasn't necessarily agreed to on pseudo-endorsing, right? Retweets are not endorsements. Wearing this patch is not an endorsement. Which athlete is going to put a black adhesive tape over the logo first? Listen, I have an endorsement with Tel-Hio. Like, You're going to put an adhesive patch over Chase? Are they going to be allowed to go full Jordan?
I don't think that's going to work out well
Reebok?
For the player. I don't think that's going to work out well.
So I'm just trying to think down the road on where this would go, unless they're going to keep the kids happy and somehow find a way to divide that, because that's where my mind goes is you're in an NIL era, but you're attaching your logo to an athlete that doesn't have necessarily a relationship with that company.
Jeremiah Smith's an Adidas athlete playing at a Nike school, correct? So there's some of those weird inner workings happening. And so, those deep in the weed stuff above my
pay. Maddie, enough money will make you probably do anything. Maybe that was the OnlyFans when they got into a room. Maybe when they got in a room to pitch the company, they did what I just said. Well, for enough money, somebody will do anything.
I have to imagine Ohio State was in good position with the companies that were lining up to want their brand on that
little space.
Yes.
We'll offer you a 1.5-inch space here. How does that sound?
Good.
Our logo fits fine.
Yeah.
By the way, you just got me very depressed.
Why?
The net worth of the OnlyFans owner was estimated at $4.7
billion. Yeah.
But the problem is the guy that created it is no longer with us.
Oh, he gone?
I don't know why. I don't know the whole story, but
okay.
Yeah, but they're generating a decent amount of cash with the platform. We'll stick with Big Ten, and the Big Ten meetings are starting. Who could play spoiler in the conference? We'll get to that next. Rothman and
Transportation. Buckeye Replay this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
Scott McMullen leads the Buckeyes past Penn State in a 2003 Classic.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Skies gradually turn partly cloudy throughout the afternoon. Still fairly humid out there with highs in the mid-80s and a very slight chance of a pop-up shower this evening. Overnight, turning mostly clear, lows are in the lower 60s. Less humid on Wednesday. It'll be a really nice day under a mostly sunny sky with highs in the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Like trying to snap a picture of Bigfoot. Nobody has ever witnessed Maddie eating a carb. This is Rothman and Ice.
During the break, I told Maddie that Tony Petitti was at the podium answering questions, and he said, let's go, pipe it in.
I said the opposite. I said TLC. Let me guess what he's talking about. Expansion
25.
Of course. Of course.
Okay, if you just told a regular sports fan, hey, they're going to put 24 teams in a college football playoff, the consensus would be that is ridiculous. If we send Adam King to do a MOS, man on the street, and
he's there.
Chicago. Yeah, he could really just run up and down Michigan Avenue or whatever. Yeah. 24 teams. Like, there really is no reason to do it. Now, I'm outside of money, but I do feel like there was a little bit of added drama, added bracket, added potential for teams to get in and make some noise. We really haven't seen a lot of the noisemakers yet.
No, nobody to me that we would deem as a Cinderella is going to make a run to even the semifinal in my mind. I just don't see it.
What would you define as a Cinderella? By name and brand, so like or seed?
A Cinderella, I'll pick a team from the last, like SMU. They were in the playoff. Like, that brand with that roster, to me, is a Cinderella in this sport.
See, a Cinderella, to me, I agree with part of that, is mostly seed. Where I thought you were going is, I don't see any team from 8 to 12 ever winning this.
To me, you can't be a Cinderella if you're a Ohio State, Bama, Georgia, and you had injuries and you crawled your way into the tournament. That, to me, is not a Cinderella. You're still one of the top dogs that had a difficult journey to get there.
I mean, Oak was an 8 last year.
Oklahoma.
What were they? I got that wrong, didn't I?
That sounds...
Maybe they were projected to be that way. I'd have to go back and look and see what they were. Were they the 8-9 game?
That sounds correct.
And then Bama won, and then Indiana took them apart. That's right. Okay.
But to me, AR, like Oklahoma, you're not a Cinderella.
So was Bama a Cinderella last year as a 9 seed?
No, Alabama, you can never be... never strong, but... Those brands to me,
so it's they always can't put by on the glass.
Yeah,
Tulane, James Madison.
Yeah, those to me register more as Cinderellas, mm-hmm. more so than the other programs that we just brought up. Yeah.
Well, the more you expand, the more you will get Cinderella into the tournament. And I'm here to tell you, an upset's going to happen. Like, they will. Somebody's going to beat somebody on a given day that's not supposed
to.
Is
that going to mean that this is all correct, though? Like, is that, in your mind, going to be like, yeah, they got it right because there was one pickoff?
No, it's just going to cause some chaos that we didn't really have before. And see, I don't know if that's good or bad, really.
I think it'll be chaos for until the next game. And I think it's a wrap for those teams as they advance and play the better programs.
You didn't view TCU as like a semi-Cinderella? I mean, they definitely made noise.
They get did, to the championship. And then what happened?
I know.
That's all I'm saying. Like, those programs up against them, Michigan and Oregon, whoever, it gets a little spooky for them the further they advance, and I don't think they're going to be advancing very far.
Would any team in the Big Ten be considered a Cinderella that could make the playoff this year? And the reason I bring that up, and that's why I'm glad we had the initial conversation, because if USC were to make it,
they're not
crawl in, so they wouldn't be viewed because of their brand.
Yeah.
Too many famous players, too many Heismans, too many, okay.
Who your head coach, you know what I mean? Like that, like a Cinderella
Indiana
would
was,
be.
Right? Yeah. The problem is Indiana had.
The year before, there was a little bit of
you didn't
a.
view them as a Cinderella this year because of the season they had and the teams they beat. They instantly bypassed Cinderella.
Yeah.
Like, they leapfrogged Cinderella status.
Quickly.
Even though no one could wrap their minds around it.
Yeah. Like, Iowa, for me, would be a Cinderella.
Really?
Yeah.
By brand alone, I mean, they've got the dean of the Big Ten. They have Kirk Ferentz. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird to even think that there could be a Cinderella team, and the Penn State wouldn't be.
No.
Even though they've done nothing in the playoff.
Huh. They've done nothing, but...
Like Matt Campbell, new coach. If they crawled in at 12, I'm trying to find a team in the Big Ten outside of Oregon, Ohio State, and Indiana that if they got in would be considered a real underdog.
But, like, realistically...
Because here's the thing.
We can name like Minnesota and UCLA, but
they're
not
getting in.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's got to be something realistic this year.
Okay, so we have the top three, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, and then probably the next three which would be Michigan, USC, Iowa.
Maybe or Washington Penn State. For some. Or Penn State. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Washington, I would have to double check.
Washington
this.
Wouldn't be a Cinderella. Washington. For me, they wouldn't.
I don't think Washington was ever ranked last year. In which case, if you make the playoffs after a season in which you were never ranked, assuming I'm correct, I think that would be Cinderella worthy.
Yeah, I don't know if they were ever ranked. That would help.
Can any of us name a second player on their roster besides their quarterback?
For this season?
Denzel Boston is now a Cleveland Brown, which means that Damond Williams is now the only player in Washington who I think the three of us can name.
That brand isn't a Cinderella for me. Not with the Kyle Peterson era, what we watched Penix and that crew do over the last couple of years. There's only a few teams, but these teams aren't realistic in the Big Ten to get there.
Here are the final
if they're not realistic, that makes them a Cinderella, right?
No, I'm saying like
according to him. No, because if they're a certain brand, if they've had a history, then they can never be a Cinderella, Maddie's saying. Because they just have too much branding power, even if they've been long gone. If they come back, like Indiana never had a brand.
There's got to be an expiration date, though, right? College football has been played since like the 30s or whatever. Like Minnesota, I think, was the number one team of the very first AP poll ever. So like they have a history, but it was forever ago. So I think like if you're at least dormant, I think the comeback kind of counts for something.
Yeah. So the 1830s or the 1930s? Where were you going with that? I was just curious. When college football?
The 1530s.
You said 1930s? They started well before that.
See, okay, even more room.
Late 1800s. Mid 1800s, maybe. All right. Let me ask you guys this.
Nasty brand of football back then.
I'm going to go through.
Not a single pass.
Woody Hayes would have loved it.
So awful to watch.
Maybe it was just a game of.
When were face masks introduced?
Maybe it was just the game of. I'm going to ask. What am I thinking of?
Google AI.
The push. The shove.
Oh, just tush push?
Just tush push all the time. It was rugby.
Oh, wow.
All right, so let me ask you guys this. These are the final rankings of last year before the playoff. You tell me whether any of these teams would be considered a Cinderella, and I'm going kind of from middle down because I don't. Texas Tech, they were 7th ranked in the country. Cinderella? Probably not.
Nah, probably not.
Strong enough.
Yeah, probably not.
BYU, 11th.
They would have some of that vibe for me.
They would.
Yeah.
Vandy at 15.
Yes.
Virginia at 16.
Yeah.
In football, but the problem is they've had great success in basketball.
Is the question, were they Cinderellas? Or will they be this year?
No, the question is, did you view them as a Cinderella last year if they would have gotten in? Probably. James Madison for sure.
No doubt.
Tulane for sure.
Absolutely.
Houston?
I don't know if I can consider them Cinderella by getting in because the G5 is guaranteed a spot.
What if Navy would have gotten in?
That's a Cinderella team for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would be.
Yes. Yeah. Because they're a military academy and you can't NIL your way into success as a military academy.
What I'm telling you is this, if this ever gets to 24, you're going to have a handful of Cinderellas. One of them will upset someone.
Let me ask you this.
One of them will.
How
happen.
Far do you think a Cinderella can go? In the playoff.
It's very difficult to say.
Well, think about it.
That's why you have to go to all these middle teams that have lost 2-3 games, maybe 4, and they get in, and the bracket breaks for them, but you're right. The championship seems to be that they would never win one.
Mm-hmm. You can't be a Cinderella until you actually start winning games in the playoffs. Simply making it doesn't get you anything.
I disagree.
You want to argue about it on the other side?
James Madison, no doubt, is a Cinderella by just getting to the playoff. No?
I disagree.
They got in, but they were a little bit, they were auto-gifted, and
I understand the journey, but I'm saying that team, when we saw them in the bracket, they're a Cinderella team.
Yeah,
I can't look at it any
other
way.
Unlike basketball, nobody was picking them.
That's right. That's why
basketball, we get that all the time. I'm going to take that Siena team or whatever. They're going to do it.
And that's why I don't understand. Well, I get it, but I don't like the idea of expansion. Yeah. We're wasting time. That's all we're doing.
We'll come back in 2 minutes and continue this. And also, down in Cincinnati, there is a new mindset. And could it define this season? We'll tell you next. Rothman.
And day 3.
Rossmann and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Maddie promises he'll continue to do the show even if he wins the lottery. If only we believed him. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, first things first. Petitti did confirm that if it ever gets to 24, the Big Ten championship goes bye-bye. I don't think that many people are going to be upset other than sometimes it was cool to drive to Indy and go see that game. And knowing whether what was on the line. I mean, Ohio State hasn't won a Big Ten championship in, what, 5-6 years?
In a little minute.
So there was a little bit of pride there. Yeah. I don't know if coaches want the extra game there, would prefer not to. That'd be a great question to ask Ryan Day. Like, I don't think you'd ever admit it publicly. We'd prefer not to go there. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. We prefer not to be Big Ten champions so I can get an extra week to prepare for the big one, which is the playoff. But the playoff's so far down the road, would I want my team to have not lose their edge and play a game and not have that massive layoff between Michigan and the first round of the playoff, whenever that would be? And let's say if Ohio State got a bye, like, they've dealt with it before. They've dealt with weeks off. And the good news is, everyone's dealing with it similarly, mm-hmm. but it does give a team. I think we've noticed this with Ohio State when they went on their roll to win the title, that once they started, the confidence just started rolling. And we noticed with Oregon that was protecting that unbeaten season that you've got to catch fire immediately. And there's really no, as you like to say, ramp up. And it just feels like you have to, it's a little more difficult. And I'm curious what Ryan Day would say, like, if your team had a chance to play in the Big Ten championship, but you were also possibly going to be a one seed, if you win, good, bad, he may just, most coaches are like, hey, we deal with what we have to deal with, and we move on. But that is what Petitti is claiming, that if it goes to 24, then that weekend would go away.
I'm not quite sure how I feel about substituting the 24-team playoff and removing championship weekend. There's something about that Saturday that I've really, really enjoyed. I haven't really enjoyed a few of the first-round matchups in the playoff that we've gotten. So I think I'm going to miss championship weekend.
But would you want it in a 24-team format? Because you haven't gotten that yet. And in a 24-team format, you're going to have conference championship games played between two teams that have already clinched.
It's a good point.
It's lost, Maddie. I'll put it this way real quickly.
Yeah.
They've lost their value.
But would you rather have that or watching James Madison and Tulane get curb stomped in the first round?
No, I don't think they belong at all, but you're right. If we go to 24, they'll be there.
Like, I'd rather have Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Penn State. Like, I'd rather have another round of that.
Listen, obviously, it was cool to have Indiana and Ohio State. Indiana's first Big Ten title game. Yeah. Here they go. Ohio State trying to win one. Two schools that might meet again. And depending on the results of that game, the bracket sets up differently. Like, the only way Indiana would have played Ohio State again is if they would have made the championship, correct? So I do like that part of it where they're trying to avoid, like, the quick rematch. But I don't know. In a 24 team, it gets very complicated because the Big Ten, I mean, it's a moneymaker, mm-hmm. and they got to find a way. Like, Petitti knows this. If that goes away, where does the extra money, where's the $200 million come from? Where does the other, all the money that we got from that game? Even though that game, did it matter? The loser wasn't going to be eliminated.
Right.
It was for seeding. It was,
and in the minds of some, the Heisman, the Big Ten championship game.
And in a weird way, the Heisman.
Yeah.
I understood it, but I think it's the ultimate individual award, and I don't think team victory should always be the tiebreaker. Because if your quarterback didn't play well and you still won, and the other guy played lights out, you're going to give it to the other guy because his team won? It's an individual award. There should have never been that narrative, but I understood why it was there. But there are many reasons to argue against the expansion, which you and I have. But I think, ask the players, ask the fans. They want to compete for their conference title? I think they do. I think they'd be willing to let it go. But I think if you asked most people, Ohio State would likely want to be there and show that they could solve it on the field and be the Big Ten champ.
I think it's also a little bit of protecting them from themselves, because you can be named Big Ten champ, but we all know that whoever the Big Ten champ is going to be just whoever makes it the furthest in the playoffs. Like, that's going to be the biggest flex in the conference. And so I think that this is a protection against the injury risk of playing a meaningless game and having one of the best players in the conference get hurt heading into the postseason.
So that's probably exactly right, because the physical nature of the game, that's why I think it'd be very curious to ask Ryan Day, would you rather have the rest and risk the rust part?
Which steelmans my argument that if we're getting rid of the Big Ten championship in order to protect players to keep them healthy for the playoffs, I think that the final week of the season is going to be what the NFL is, where all the teams that have clinches have just sit their players, and that's why Ohio State and Michigan will one day be played earlier in the season.
Whether it's the NCAA or the NFL, they don't really care that much about player safety. They keep adding to the sport and asking these guys to put their bodies on the line.
Well, because the money keeps going up for everybody.
And that's where they lose me. They're telling me all this other stuff, which I know isn't really what they care about.
But it's what you just mentioned. The players are willing to risk it because their money's going up, too. Salaries have gone up.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But I'm just saying from the conference's side of things, I know what this has been about and is going to continue to be about. And I don't love it because we're talking about a lot of what's going to happen at the end, which I get. But what's going to happen on the journey to get there? Are we going to enjoy that as much? I know I'm not. I know I'm not. They're going to lose me as far as my interest week in and week out, because you're now telling me that the regular season to a certain level is now devalued.
Wait, I thought you were just like a tell me when and where the game is.
No. That's when it comes to the TV contracts and all of that stuff. Yeah. That I don't really care too much about.
Yeah. I think I think I'm going to read you correctly on this, and I think you and I are in lockstep on it, that even though the Big Ten championship wasn't for all the marbles, it still was more important and maybe more and certainly more compelling than watching a top five seed rip apart a 23 or a 24 seed in the first round of a playoff.
That's exactly where I'm at.
And maybe the top five is wrong because they'd get a bye, or the top eight.
Sure.
But so let's go to 9 or 10 playing 23-24. And the lack of competition, we might really see something. Now, I do think there would be an upset. I just think in a one-gamer, there will be one. Some team will turn over the ball. There'll be something that'll happen that'll create a little chaos. Would it blow it to pieces? Probably not. But I think that's what you're going to lose if you lose the conference championship games. You're going to lose compelling football. Because I think once they're on the field, they're trying. No one's sitting their starters. No one's protecting their guys. Like, you're playing. It's for a conference championship. Yeah. They're all saying the right things. They're all trying to do the right things. Mm-hmm. And whether it matters in the big scheme is debatable. But it's got to be better than doing away with them so you can have 10 play 24 or whatever it's going to be.
That doesn't move me at all. It doesn't. And so there's been so much change to this sport. This is one of the things that's higher up for me that I'm not really rocking with at all. The playoff expansion is no doubt number one, going to 16, 18, 24, whatever that's going to be. But then removing what I think, and this is just me, is a valuable weekend that means something, and just adding in what you just painted out for us in a great picture, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't understand what we're doing here.
And here's the annoying thing, too, is that you're going to have people who defend college football using the one-off outlier upset in the first round as a justification of why we should have playoff expansion, because you never know. So, you're going to have that upset. Mm-hmm. But that team, that 24 seed may win one game, but they're not making a run to the championship.
Basketball, then? Why do we embrace it in basketball?
But like St. Peter's didn't win at all. Florida Gulf Coast didn't win at all. Like the 15s over the 2s happen. And so they actually serve more of a purpose of exposing the higher seeds than actually giving the bottom feeders an opportunity to win a championship, because they can't win that many games in a row against teams that are that much better than them.
No, but maybe to me in basketball, it's more likely that a 10 or 11 seed could go on a run, not just win one, but win two or three. Maybe get to a Final Four, not win at all, but maybe get to a Final Four, and then you have that story. But if you have 16 seeds in a bracket for basketball in each region, we only have the top half are ever winning it. Only an 8 seed or better has ever won it. Mm-hmm. We've never had anybody outside of an 8. Mm-hmm. But we've seen teams go on runs and take out big teams.
Yeah, I'm just not going to get a dopamine hit from watching one upset. Oh. in the college football playoff. That, and I know people are going to love that, and Sports Center is going to love it.
What? Borderline.
No, dopamine's kind of
borderline. It's borderline. Dopamine.
That's not anything that.
Get out your thesaurus.
That's not any. I mean, we know what it means, but kind of.
But that
is not in common conversation.
But I know, AR, that's going to do a lot for a lot of people, feeling that charge. And like TLC was alluding to, oh, the college football playoff may brag and say, look, this is fun. And like, that's not because the next round they're going to play Georgia and lose by 35. Thanks.
Having a playoff for the sake of a playoff is not why this thing exists. We're trying to find out who the best team is. So when we inevitably get to a championship game with two teams that were in the top four, it's like, well, we could have just had a four-team playoff and gotten the same result.
They're trying to make everything matter because if you attach playoff to it, that it does matter.
That's exactly.
But the parity isn't there.
No.
By the way, what happens is, it's not like the NFL. Right. But like, so there's not enough parity. And then the other thing that they risk doing is making the first round of an expanded playoff of 24 turn into the exact thing they hated, the old bowl season. Mm-hmm. But they figure if playoffs attached to it, it gets a pass.
If playoffs are attached to it, players won't sit out. That's what it comes down
to. Another factor as well.
I don't know. I've always brought that up.
You think they will?
No, I think quarterbacks won't. But I think if you had a first-round receiver on seed 22 of a Cinderella, that guy might think about it.
I think if there's something still to play for, they will.
Because I guess you're only risking character with the GM of the NFL team. Why'd you sit out?
I don't think they even care about that, to be honest with you.
Then
people said that about McCaffrey and Fournette. They both went top eight.
But you don't think you're going to risk injury? If you're a first-round receiver on, I don't know, Vandy, and they're a 23 seed in a playoff, you don't think that guy's got the right to think about whether this is worth it?
No, I'm saying if he sits out, it won't hurt his draft stock. But I think he will still play because there's something still to play for.
It'll be news when the first quarterback opts out of a playoff. That'll never happen.
No. Never.
But
I don't think anybody ever will.
Me either.
Really?
I hope not.
The over-under on a half?
Not the playoff.
By what year?
A 24 seed?
By what year?
When's it starting?
Hopefully never.
Actually, you know what? We don't know.
Exactly. We'll come back. I want to get to the Bengals and the start of training camp and what they're trying to sell this year to their fans. Rothman.
Do you feel that? The season is getting closer. Buckeye football comes your way in 39 days. Every game, every season. Proud to be your flagship home for Ohio State football. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1, The Fan!
I have to tell you, when he does that, and I hear it again, I really do think that's Al Pacino. Like, someone got to him and said, hey, would you tape this for us real fast?
Yeah, so, man, Frank just, he's the man.
I mean, it just, that one specifically for me, I don't know why, that one's...
That's the one. I like that one, too, because of the clap, too, in the back. Yeah. I'm here for that. It's good stuff.
All right, so Zach Taylor provided the real reason that the Bengals re-signed Joe Flacco.
Oh, okay. For the vibes?
For the vibes.
For the vibes.
By the way, you just came up with a new t-shirt for us. For the vibes.
What'd he say?
He said, well, let me set it up here. So it was never lost on us how impressive that was. He was talking about Flacco's 25 season and how quickly he learned the offense. Remember when people were talking about maybe, hey, bring him along slowly.
What are you waiting on?
He learned Cincinnati's offense to be able to play against the Green Bay Packers just 5 days after being traded. You traded for a 40-year-old quarterback. What are you waiting for him to develop? It was never lost on how impressive that was. That's a big reason we brought him back. This was on the Netflix.
Okay, the quarterback series. Yeah. Okay, I did see one of the highlights coming out from the show where Joe's son is in the stands with his mom, obviously, and he says to his mom, I'm going to crash out right here. And she looks at him and goes, why? He said, because I benched dad in fantasy. So he was at the game watching his dad play live, and he was ready to crash out.
Well,
because you know how it works when you bench a guy.
His dad threw two touchdowns. They lost, but he had no picks. So... That's amazing.
It makes total sense why Zach Taylor and the coaching staff would want him back. One, because of depth for sure, but just the in-house experience. You got kind of that Unc OG vibe. I think it's always good to have one of those guys around. Hopefully his number doesn't have to be called, but if we're living in a world where unfortunately it does have to be called, he's a guy that we've seen. Like, you give him a few games, he's going to have a couple of those that are going to be high-end, you know, attempts, high-end passing yards that are going to have some good results, and you'll get a mixed bag in there as well. And he's a 40-plus-year-old quarterback, that's going to happen. But, yes, having that type of security is so valuable for teams that are going to, in their minds, think they're going to be contenders.
Good investment. Yeah. They gave him $6 million. The problem is, you hope to never have to pay him $9 million that you have incentivized. Yeah. Like, you hope that never happens.
And unfortunately, that's a realistic conversation that now has to be had about Joe Burrow, is his availability, right? When he's out there, he's a one-of-one guy. We do know that, but we are now talking about a decent chunk now of his NFL career to where he's been sidelined. And so that's going to be obviously a massive thing to monitor throughout the coming days and weeks with training camp, because we were talking a couple years ago about him in training camp sustaining, what was it, the calf injury, I believe.
Then the toe.
The toe, right? Yeah. And that was just a normal practice. Hey, I'm rolling out trying to make a throw. And so just fingers crossed every day if you're a Bengal fan holding your breath about number nine, because when he's out there, you're a one-of-one offense at least.
Yeah. That nickname's already been taken anyway. He doesn't want that nickname. Lou the Toe Groza. You don't want to be Joe the Toe Burrow. It's not a good nickname for a quarterback. They want to get back to the playoffs for the first time in the past few years. He's the guy. Everybody knows that. I do feel like part of it, though, has been really bad luck. Like, I don't think he's reckless.
No, his game.
I think it's kind of, I think he's not Baker, who has to be, who has to be reckless at times. But I think his injuries have unfortunately been bad luck. Some guys are injury prone, I hope. And he's kind of getting that moniker a little bit, but they've had a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball that you and I have talked about, and they restructured his contract. They never do that. Like, you got to praise the Bengals at least for realizing, and maybe I shouldn't be giving them praise, this is what professional teams should know how to do. When you have a franchise quarterback, they should find a way to make him as competitive as they can in his window, but his window keeps opening and shutting based on his health.
Yeah. So, the offensive line in front of him is a unit that's now coming back with everybody that played last year, which I think is a good thing for him, right? You got the chemistry up front. They bring in Dalton Risner last year, and now you add him, you added him last year. Now you bring him back along with all the other guys. And so that should be a unit that knows what the heck they're doing and not gonna take a lot of time to get going. But we shouldn't really be talking about the offense. That's not what we should be talking about. It's the other side of the ball. And I can't wait to hear the defensive line. The linebacking unit for me is the big one. And Barrett Carter and Demetrius Knight Jr., two young guys last year that were okay, but that's the unit that's got to get going. I think this defensive line is going to have their moments throughout the year where we're talking about them on Mondays. Like, yeah, that unit up front was doing their thing, led by Dexter Lawrence. But the second level of the defense, that's where my ears are going to be in the coming weeks, and my eyes are going to be when we get rolling with preseason games and all that is, are they going to have guys on the second level that can stop opposing offenses, because they just didn't offer enough resistance a year ago?
They thought they were gonna. Yeah.
They were young.
You know what's weird?
They're young guys.
Is that Logan Wilson was a dude.
He was gone, went to Dallas,
yeah,
right?
Like, he was a dude, like out of nowhere, and then he gets traded.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe that's another weird, maybe they shouldn't have paid him when they did. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the stature. So Demetrius Knight Jr. Played South Carolina. He played in all 17 games. He started 14. Had more than 100 total tackles, 3 sacks, 7 passes defended, 1 forced fumble, 2 picks. I mean, was he a rookie of the week? He may have been like a rookie of the week at some point. But, and then you said Carter?
Yes, Barrett Carter.
So Barrett Carter out of Clemson also played 17 games, started 12, over 100 tackles, 4 passes defended, 1 interception. They both played a significant amount of snaps last year.
They did. It just was inconsistent. I know PFF, Pro Football Focus, had the Bengals linebacking unit ranked last from last year based off of what they did. So it's that specific group, but it's the entire unit. And this is all about, like, if I'm Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, I'm wearing T-shirts around the facility that just say JBA. Just be average. That's all we're asking. Just be average this year. Because if they do that, then I think we're talking about a real threat. JBA 2026.
I don't think you want to lean into that.
They have to.
Heck, we can lean into that.
They can't. They're
on our show, but I don't know about them.
They're not going to go from the basement to the tops of the league in defense. That would blow me away.
Yeah, but you got them just getting to the lobby.
That's all they need. Like JBA, just be average. They gave up almost 500 points last year. The third worst
in
the league.
Be average and win the Super Bowl?
I think they can with an average defense. I think they can.
Boy, in the AFC, I guess if they could score enough, then best defense is a great offense, but
I don't think, because we won't be asking them to score 35 anymore. It'll be like, hey, we can win a game 24-17.
Well, here's what I would say to Zach Taylor. You run the ball with Chase Brown the way he can. Like, you don't have to light everybody up with the pass and then get some three and outs and put pressure on your defense. You start running a respectable offense running, we won't have to come here and hassle you no more.
That'll help.
You start controlling the clock a little bit, and maybe they can manage a game better. Mm-hmm. That'll be on him. All right, we're going to come back, top of the hour sports update, and Deshaun versus Shador continues, breaking down the battle, and it could be a good one. Rothman
Foundation.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Anberg. Friends, rivals, frenemies, the Big Ten Media Days are underway from Chicago, and Commissioner Tony Petitti weighed in on the league's relationship with the Southeastern Conference.
The fans love the rivalry. We want to double down on that because it's the right thing for all of our sports to play those games. And then secondly, I think as a working partner, I can tell you, I don't think it could be much better, to be honest with you.
Petitti added conference title games would come to an end if the CFP were to expand to 24 teams. Today, Ohio State's 36 varsity sports will wear Chase Bank jersey patches this year as part of a landmark deal with J.P. Morgan Chase worth a reported $17 million annually. Baseball today, after rain washed out Monday's game, the Reds host the Guardians in a split doubleheader at 1:40, and then tonight at 7:10. Hear coverage on The Fan 2. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
The best teams don't always win titles. Sounds like AR and Maddie bragging about their fantasy teams.
Hey, that's cheating.
This is Rothman and Ice.
All right. Deshaun versus Shador. Get your popcorn. Maybe it's not even worth popcorn. I don't know. Get your
saltine crackers.
Mixed nuts.
I got those ready right here for you.
Yeah, listen. That's right, man. There it is.
They're on deck.
Let's check Kalshi and see what Kalshi says about who's starting this damn thing.
All right, can somebody explain Kalshi to me? Because I've seen it all over social media. You know,
With Giannis?
When my eyes see numbers and graphs, like my mind just kind of explodes when it comes to math and all of that. So Kalshi is what?
Prediction market that I suppose I've not used it. I suppose you can bet into it and pick a side.
Okay.
And then before it becomes a result, if you're riding the prediction, let's say the LeBron thing.
Yeah.
Let's say Cleveland was the favorite last week and Miami was second. And then news came out, or rumor came out, that he's back in Miami and the thing reversed itself. And you had Miami shares, technically.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't want to ride it all the way to the result. You wanted to cash out. Like, you could sell your shares, I guess.
Okay.
And make some profit.
That makes sense.
And that may, what I just said may be totally false. I don't know.
No, that's my interpretation of it.
So, we've got Kalshi, we've got TLC's Polymarket, Chad GPT.
Yeah.
All just so many different.
So, it's based on, like, the percentage likelihood of the outcome. So, it's like, for the LeBron example, it's like each team had a certain percentage likelihood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the end result is going to be 76ers 100%, and everybody else is going to have 0%. And so, it is like, it's basically just like a cash out. That's the best way to view
it. Makes sense. Okay.
Because if you had, you know, I think the Golden State Warriors were at like 15%. Mm-hmm. Well, if you had that and then you never sold your shares, then you're sitting there with your 15% likelihood just dropped to zero. So whatever you had in that, you get zero return on.
Understood. What if they would? What if it would have been Golden State at the last minute, and you were holding one of the 15%? Are you getting a big piece of the other pie that goes to just the people that had the 15%?
I believe so.
All those people are like raking money from all the people that bet in on Miami and Cleveland. Like, is the pot of like? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, so it's like
how does my 15%? If I was lucky enough to predict Golden State and I was in the minority, but it turns out to be Golden State, then how does my money double or triple or quadruple?
You catch it at when you buy in a 15% likelihood means you put in like each share is worth 15 cents. So like once it gets up to let's say LeBron, actually let's choose the 76ers because that's what actually happened. So with the 76ers, I don't know. They weren't even in the top three. It was the Heat, the Cavs, and the Warriors were the top three on Cal Sheet this entire time. So let's say the 76ers was really low, like 5 cents or something like that. Or like, so a 5% likelihood for the 76ers means that the shares are worth 5 cents. At the end of it, the shares are all worth $1 because it's 100% of a dollar. Okay. So it's like, basically, you made 20% or 20 times your money because the 5% likelihood became 100% when he chose the 76ers.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm following. I don't think I'm going to be a Kalshi guy. Got to be honest.
I think, okay.
This doesn't seem like this is for me.
It's very verbose to explain. And so if something.
Fire it off.
Okay.
Fire it off.
All right.
Verbose?
Yeah, that word may have made its debut on the show. But it's very verbose. And so it's. Like, this is probably going in one ear and out the other with a lot of the listeners right now, but like, if you went on the website and screwed around with it for 2 minutes, I think you would see the vision.
Get a better feel of it. Okay, yeah. So now, AR, what is Kalshi telling us about the Browns quarterback situation? Because that's, I think, how we got here.
Thinking about where I heard verbose before. I knew it, but I didn't really know it.
I like it. I got to add that to my bag.
All right, so they're saying Shedeur is going back to the bench. Okay. That's what they're saying. Okay. Kalshi heavily favors Deshaun Watson as the week one starter. And Shedeur, I mean, they're the only two names on the board. Mm-hmm. Watson has a 64% edge. Sanders is priced at 21%, Mr. Verbose.
And by the way, I hope I described that accurately because I've never placed a wager on Kalshi before. This is all what I think it is.
Well, I'll tell you this. He's had a slide. In late June, Shedeur was running to 54%. Now he's at 21%.
Okay, so are we going to turn into a Kalshi show? Is that what's going to happen here?
Essentially.
We kind of did last week.
Yeah, we did last week when you
every
were gone.
Every single day. Sorry. We did. We honestly did.
There was one show, I think we had like four different Kalshi segments.
So let me get this straight. Yeah. So at $10, you would profit $2.61 right now if Deshaun was named the starter. So you'd get $26 would be made if Sanders gets the starting position in week one. So Kalshi settles the market, Matty, based on whichever player gets confirmed as the starter for week one.
Okay. I feel like I'm Zach Galifianakis right now with the meme of the numbers and swirling around my head. That's how I feel right now at the moment.
Matty, the only way to really know is to do. So just jump in. Buy some shares. We'll do it
I'll
may do it as an experiment for the show.
Okay.
And that way I'll be able to speak halfway intelligently about it because I'll be using it.
Well, I looked it up and Kalshi's not legal in Ohio.
Well, that's never stopped me.
Oh my goodness.
It's different than sports betting, Manny, because you're not betting against a casino or a sports book. You have other people that are driving the market.
So it's like horse racing. It's like
pool
betting
with other people.
I'll live through you. How about that?
Well, now it sounds like
it's like sports betting.
Gotta get the shutout.
Borderline for the purpose of not actually even finding the result and just kind of waiting for the tides to flip in a different direction that works for you.
Give me Lucky Dan to win third race at Riverside.
The Heisman Trophy would be the absolute perfect thing to use Kalshi for.
Perfect.
Because if you think that there's a quarterback that's going to start like 5-0 or 6, like for example,
week to week, it could change.
Julian Sain and Arch Manning play each other in week two. Their percentage likelihood of winning the Heisman is going to shift dramatically after that game alone. Now, by the end of the year, let's say they both go 11-1, they might catch up to one another, might be close again. But directly after week two, the Arch Manning versus Julian Sand Heisman percentages are going to be very separate based on who won the game. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like betting for the purpose of not even waiting for the final result.
So maybe we cook up a Rothman and Ice Kalshi account. Three of us.
Where do we go to do this?
Again, I've never done this, so I'm explaining what I think this is. I could be wrong,
man. What is Giannis doing? What is he promoting? Isn't he on this?
Yes, and see, that's the thing.
What is his?
That's why it's trouble with this stuff, is because you can leak media stories that alter their percentages like crazy. And so it's like...
No, but does he endorse it?
Yeah.
Is that what the commercials are?
Yeah.
So why am I seeing his commercials? I can't do it.
I don't know.
That's not fun. I mean, let's get some state regulators and let's get this thing going.
So you can leak one media story, completely alter the market, but like you can...
So it makes it so exciting.
Yeah.
I do agree with Kalshi, though, that if I had to bet on one of the guys right now to be the guy under center against Jacksonville, I would bet on Deshaun.
The first shot.
Yeah, I'd bet on him.
All right, so there's a case to be made, certainly for Shador. In this, I've made it for months. He's the guy. Meaning, he's the guy you really have to find out about. I'm leaving room now for if Deshaun catches lightning in a bottle here and he is even 75% of what you thought he was going to be when you traded for him, that may be enough to be better than Shador Sanders. But the timing of the contracts are horrendous. They just don't work for Cleveland. And with the quarterback market the way it could be next year... Maybe this is just playing this out, but I'm gonna come back to, I think both guys are going to play a significant amount of time because they're not going to win enough games for them to just ride with one guy. I don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll get to the end of the year with enough information. We'll come back and we'll let you hear some analysis on this, on the case for both. Rothman.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Skies gradually turn partly cloudy throughout the afternoon. Still fairly humid out there with highs in the mid-80s and a very slight chance of a pop-up shower this evening. Overnight, turning mostly clear, lows are in the lower 60s. Less humid on Wednesday. It'll be a really nice day under a mostly sunny sky with highs in the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
1, 2, 3! Here at The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. Anthony's hidden talent is weaving a movie quote into every conversation. It's mostly not annoying. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
TLC will set this up for us a little bit. I was watching a couple of things this morning, and there was like a journey back for Deshaun Watson. It's being categorized as some sort of comeback story. He's feeding into it, which is fine. He's a competitor, right? He could easily just ride out the string. You know,
wake up every morning, look at that bank account and smile.
Get tweaked again and not really care. Like, you have an injury and it just wouldn't matter. Yeah. But he's, you know, I do think there's something to be said for that. He wants to prove that he is a talent and you only have so many years to do that. And so I'm going to give, outside of, I'm not here to debate what kind of guy he is. I don't know. There's circumstantial evidence that says he wasn't a very good dude. But he is here and he wants to prove it. And when you listen to him talk, it sounds like he really, that it's motivating him. Now, the pressure is weird because the pressure only comes from internal for him. The external pressure is not really there other than he may find himself without a job in the NFL soon. He could. That's where the pressure is. Not really necessarily with the Browns or getting a new contract. I don't even know if he wants to continue to play for the Browns. I think he wants the platform more than anything. But he's only 30. And we'll be 31 this year during the season. So when he talks about being in the best feeling he's had in a long time and that he's got a good head on his shoulders and he's emotionally, spiritually, everything is coming together and he's ready to prove it, you know, I'm going to buy that he wants to do it. I don't think he's lying. I think it just comes down to whether he can and whether he's got the team around him to help him do it, because every quarterback needs that. In reverse, Shador, I was listening to a podcast where I believe, this is my theory, that Deshaun being there actually helps Shadur. It really does. I think if Deshaun wasn't there and the only option they had was Shadur and it was just his job, I'm not saying he would attack it differently, but I think the mindset would be different. I think Shadur has had to go a little old school now, walk himself back a little bit, wherever that is in his mind on how he competes for a job because of the name he has and the hype that's around him and the expectation around him. There's a little bit of old school, I'm going to work out differently, wear different clothing. I listen to the podcast. I don't know. What do you have on this?
Here is Shadur.
All right. This route that I'm going, I have no choice but to be great because I understand it. That's why I have the confidence to even do it, to even come up here and do it because I understand, you know, what has to be done. I understand what my purpose is and everything aligns. Will I get hate? Will I get all that? Yeah, it comes with it. But I could do nothing and get hated on. I could wake up and get hated on. I was born into hate, you know, so it's like, what's new? It's the same. You just got to disconnect from that world. Like, I don't intake negativity. I don't look at social comments. I look at DMs from, like, my aunties and uncles that really show love. You know, I really appreciate them. And I know if I'm great within, look, I ain't got no jury on. You know what I'm saying? And I maximize my jewelry to the max.
I was going to say, me having more jewelry on than my guest has never happened before. I'm feeling great now.
I don't need external things. But this isn't about you.
I was about to say, well, damn. Don't hit on my few pieces of gold.
It was just something I had to prove to myself. Yeah. I'm not saying it's bad, good, anything. But to me, I had to prove to myself, I don't need anything to make myself feel as powerful as I am.
So here's a couple things. The follow-up to that is, if I was sitting there and he was saying that to me, I would say, how long will that last? How long do you feel you can have that? Or when would that change? And what would make it change? If you won the Super Bowl, would you allow yourself to reward? To now I can wear it again? Because he says he doesn't need any external flash to feel powerful or to prove his talent. And this is a departure of what he's been. I'm actually looking forward to seeing how this affects him and how long it lasts. It has a little bit of, I'm now the underdog. We just read the Kalshi predictions. We've heard people talk about this is Deshaun's job to lose now. I feel like Shadur, for the first time, truly, has become an underdog on his own team. And I think it can only help him. How he handles it, how he goes about it. I don't know. Is there a mindset shift for you when you hear that?
No, because I don't think him wearing jewelry or him not wearing jewelry is going to have an impact on what happens at quarterback. I'm not really factoring that in to what's going to happen on the field. It's just about what we did see on the field last year from him getting cleaned up and that gaining the trust from Monken, right? With the turnovers, the bad decision making. That's what I care about. I don't care about what interest guys have, whether they want to wear, you know, Louis Vuitton shoes to the stadium or they want to wear flip flops to the stadium. To me, as long as you ball and do your job, that's what I'm invested in as a fan of the sport or fan of certain teams and players. And so I do think you bring up a good point about both guys. Both guys, I think, are at a point in their career to where, especially for Shadur, where you think about his entire football career leading to this point, middle school, high school, Jackson State, Colorado, you're the guy. There hasn't been much resistance as far as you competing for a spot. Your dad's been running the teams. You've always felt comfortable with your position. Now you're coming into camp, and it's like, oh, you know, there's this other guy here that is a real threat to my job. And so I think that is a real wake-up call for a guy like Shadur, and it's also a guy that we're probably listening to and watching mature on the fly. Right? Like, this happens with guys. You get to your first year in the league and it doesn't work out your way. You're going to get humbled to a certain degree. And it sounds like he has been. But again, I don't want him to not be who he is either, because that's how he got to this point, is having that level of confidence in himself. So if he can find a healthy balance in that, I think that'll be the best for Shadur and for Deshaun. Deshaun's right now in the show House of the Dragon. There's one of the characters. His name is Aegon. He used to be the king. He is no longer the king. He's out on a crazy walk through the world right now of just being nobody and realizing, hey, I got to readjust who I am to get back to prominence. And that's kind of how I'm looking at Deshaun, because he was one of the kings of the castle, man, around the NFL. Now he's been kicked all the way down to the bottom And now he's got to reprove himself to everybody. So, again, I'm very intrigued by the quarterback race up there in Cleveland.
I think they both need each other. I think they do. I think if Shador wasn't there, it would be Deshaun's job. If Deshaun wasn't there, it would be Shador's job.
I think Deshaun's motivated by Shador, and I think he's motivated to show himself. Because I think that, to me, has to be a troubling place for any athlete to be, not just Deshaun, where you've done something at the highest of levels for a nice amount of time in your life, and now you just you can't do it anymore, especially for him, right, coming off the Achilles injuries.
Like he's, shoulder.
Yeah, all of that. And so that level of motivation, I think it's times two for Deshaun, because I agree with you that walking around and seeing Shador every day is going to motivate him. But also internally, I think he, regardless of who was there, this dude's going to be ultra motivated to showcase to the league that I can still ball.
Yeah. It's a departure for me, because Shador's whole deal was wrist up and look at my jewelry on my wrist. And like, and now that he's putting that aside, you're right. It's only words, but it's his mindset, and it'll be interesting to see how long he carries this and what it does for him, if in anything. Because there's got to be some reason to do it. Like, there's really no reason that he would do it. He must feel it's somewhat necessary, either from a narrative standpoint or from his own personal feel, and I'll take him at his word that he did it for his own personal feel, that I want to keep myself focused every day now on non- how should I say this? Like, just basically superficial things. And we'll see. You have something on Deshaun?
Yeah, if you want a little taste of his workout hype.
Yep. Getting the body, getting the movement right. Make sure that I'm at my peak. Going into training camp, getting ready for the season. So, man, body, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, everything in the right space. You know, constantly just building every day. So, locked in, I'm ready. I'm ready for sure.
Locked ready. In and ready, baby.
Ready for sure.
I'm laughing because we can. I'm sure there's probably a decent amount of NFL players that have said that on their social media this offseason, mentally, physically, spiritually. I'm ready to go. We're going to hear that in the coming days. Best shape of my life, yep. All that stuff. All those quotes are about to pop off. But
and one of those players is going 3-14. Who's it going to be?
For Deshaun.
It could be Deshaun.
Could be Deshaun. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. I don't know. I'm curious when the trust physically will reach 100% again, right? Because I don't know how anybody that went through what he went through physically the last couple of years can fully trust everything until you go out there, time on task against a different opponent and all that. So they've got a bye week, week 11. And the opponent, the week before their bye week, is the Houston Texans. I won't be surprised if there's a quarterback change coming out of that bye week, because that, regardless of who it is under center, against that defense, there's a chance that that could be a rough outing for that Browns offense, and then won't be shocked if we get a change then.
I feel like they need more answers about Shador than they do about Deshaun, just based on the money and whether they'd really want to reinvest in Deshaun. That's going to take a lot for Watson to prove that he's worth that to them.
He's young
based
enough.
Based on how they're situated.
He's young enough to where it's... That door is open. How wide the door is open, it's not that open, but it's open because of his age.
By the way, and I didn't quite get the horizontal tease perfectly, but at 1:15 tomorrow,
attaboy,
Ryan Day will be taking the podium in Chicago, and we will attempt to air that live. So if you're listening now, that means at this time tomorrow, he will have just gotten finished speaking, perhaps. So I get to get some credit for a horizontal tease, but that would be at 1:15 tomorrow. And then we'll be wrapping it up right around this time tomorrow.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, Tyvus Powell will jump on. We'll ask him how real the battle is and more. That's next. Rothman.
Out. Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's Tuesday, and Tyvus is here.
You have to recognize that one of his greatest strengths is his voice, which makes him sound sexy and smart and sexy and sexy.
It's Tuesdays with Tyvus. We'll talk about the Buckeyes, the Browns, and Tyvus's weight loss plans that he'll never follow up on.
Sponsored by Window Nation.
He's the baller from Bedford. It's our friend Tyvus Powell. A couple questions. First of all, how real is the battle between Deshaun and Shador in your mind to be the week one starter? And then, do you feel like Shador that Watson has lit a fire under him enough for him to change this persona that he claims, where he's not going to be wearing a lot of accessorized jewelry and he's kind of going a little old school now in this fight. What do you make of all of it?
I think that the battle is pretty real. I think that it's still a little favored towards Deshaun. I think that for this battle, for Shador to win this, first of all, let's be realistic here. Deshaun would have to be, if it was me, he would have to be head and shoulders better than Shador Sanders. I mean, it would have to be so eye-opening that it's just it's undeniable that he's on another level than Shador. If they're about the same level, I'm rolling with Shador. The whole Deshaun thing to me is, I don't get it, unless he is really just performing like that. So I would imagine that they would have to figure that out by at least after the first preseason game. I think the latest they can make this decision is after the Bills preseason game. I think that is the absolute latest. I feel they need to get it figured out, though. Obviously, you want it done sooner rather than later to get the chemistry going. But I do think it's for real. As far as people changing their persona, I mean, Deshaun is switching his persona. Is that what you're saying?
Shador. He claims that he's not going to wear jewelry for a while or whatever. He just says that he doesn't need this extra flash to prove his power or his talent. He's kind of going a little more old school, like against the, superficial stuff.
Maybe somebody must have had a talk with them. I personally think that the problem with today's generation is that the older generation, so like the talking heads, the guys like us, like, it's different than what we're used to seeing. We've seen Tom Brady's, Peyton Manning's, those type of guys and how they handled their business. And we feel that that is the only way that you could be successful is by being like those guys, right? So when you see a guy coming in, with a boom box or it just look different, we think that that's the incorrect way. But in all actuality, people just get different and get ready for games differently. And I think we need to be more accepting of that instead of dissing people and looking for a reason not to like somebody. So I think that maybe that played a little bit part into it. I know he's been talking about how this whole offseason has been about him trying to find peace within himself. And hopefully this must be one of those things that he feels is necessary.
What was your reaction to Jerry Jeudy telling all of us that we were wrong for reading into his Instagram live when he was asked, who do you want to be your starting quarterback? And he threw up the four. What was your read on that?
I think that when I first seen it, I laughed at it. But then, after doing some digging on it, they said that they kind of captured the video at a different moment or something like that to make it look like that's what he was talking about. The fact of the matter is this, and this is where I'm at when it comes to the Browns and the quarterback competition. It don't matter who I want, who you want, who Jerry want. You know what matters? They're about to get on this dance floor tomorrow at 1:30, 1:15 maybe. And it's going to tell for itself, who cares who Jeudy wants? It's about who's performing the best in practice and in games. Like, that's what you're going to get. So all of this is what we think, this is who it should be. Like, we're going to find out when they get the dance floor here. And I'm so glad that we finally reached this point, because I'm so tired of hearing, this stat. This guy should be it because of this. He don't have it no more because we haven't seen this since 2020. This guy was 7 touchdowns, 10 picks. I was thinking all of that. We're going to see who looks good in camp and who looks good in this preseason. It's going to be live for everybody to be able to access it and see it. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm sick of the whole, guessing thing. We're going to figure it out.
There's a difference, though, what Maddie's getting at, and I think he's getting at, there's a difference when your top wide receiver is asked and his whole livelihood is attached to the quarterback and he gives a hint on who he'd rather have. Now, I'm not saying his vote is the one that counts over the head coach, but that's telling to me that he thinks Deshaun is better than Shador right now. That's all. I think that's what all we got out of it. You're right. It'll prove itself eventually because he's not making the decision. But how would that make you feel if you were the quarterback, if you were Shador and your top target receiver-wise was picking the other guy.
First of all, Harold Fannin is the top target. So
he's a tight end, though. Yeah, that's fine. I meant from a receiver.
Listen, first of all, I ain't paying attention to nothing Jerry Jeudy saying. Until Jerry Jeudy can catch the ball consistently in a game without no drops, he don't matter right now. He really don't. So he got his own fish to fry right now. So I get it, though. I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, you want your top, your guy who you think is your top receiver to ultimately want you as the guy, and if he's saying that maybe he wants a shot, which he comes in and said that's not what he said, so you know they're making looking for clicks and views is what he said, so he's
saying you're not buying that, are you?
I mean, listen, if that's the thing, I'm not buying it, but I am buying it. I, like I said, I'm at a point where I really don't care. I just don't care. What did Jerry Jeudy to me, like his word means nothing to me right now, because he hasn't produced at a level for his word to mean anything.
So I believe that Fannin's going to lead the team in targets this year.
I agree.
Okay, so after that, map out what you think the pecking order will look like target-wise between Concepcion, Boston, Jeudy, or maybe even Isaiah Bond.
Jeudy probably is going to receive a lot of the targets. I don't think you want to take him out. Casey Concepcion, you know, it's a first-round pick, so you gotta make a way for him. Denzel Boston probably finishes with red zone targets and, you know, little 50-50 balls and stuff like that. So if you want me to map out targets, I think the targets go Harold Fannin 1, Jerry Jeudy 2, Casey Concepcion 3, Denzel Boston 4.
Okay.
That would probably be the order that I see it.
What was your take on, well, let me ask you this, as long as we're on this topic. Do you think that Deshaun's experience gives him an advantage with a first-year head coach?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Even if the talent isn't all there again, like that would be the one area where he would have an edge over Shador.
Yeah, I think so, because I think that as a first-year coach, first of all, Todd Monken's been waiting on this all his life, right, to be a head coach. So he's going to go with a guy who he feels can at least get him through a game, you know, that can execute the game plan at a high level. So, I mean, yeah, of course you're going to go with a guy who's been in the league and has actually played at a high level. You know, this guy, at one point in time, they were calling this guy behind Patrick Mahomes. He was the second-best quarterback. You know, he went toe-to-toe with Pat. So a lot of you know, coaches are – enamored with the fact that, what if I'm the guy that can get through to him, that can get him back to playing like the old him? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big feather in your cap. So I think that's one of the things that people are falling victim to as well, is that I've seen what he looks like at his best. How good would it be if I got that guy playing like the guy back in Houston, you know? So I think that plays a part into it. But again, this guy also has played at a high level. He's been to the playoffs multiple times. So, yeah, you would definitely lean more towards his expertise and hope that you know, you can rekindle the flame in him.
Before we get you out of here, and you can go watch my Reds beat up on your Guardians, outside of the quarterback situation, which player or players is Tyvis Powell excited to watch when training camp pops off here in a couple days?
The one guy that I got my eye close on is actually Tyson Campbell and Miles Harden. I think those two guys are going to play a big role in if this defense is going to be really good or not. You know, I think that, you know, it was a certain way you was able to cover when you had Myles Garrett there. Now that Myles Garrett isn't there, you know, you might have to cover for a little bit longer. You might be susceptible for double moves and things like that. You know, so I want to see if Tyson Campbell is able to hold his own, because one of the things, if you look at the scouting report on him, one of the things that he's struggled with is double moves. Go look at the Denzel Boston clip, double move. He ran a stutter and go, right? So I want to see how he's able to cover. And then Miles Harden is the guy who's playing that nickel spot. I think if I'm an offensive coordinator and I'm looking at this Browns team, Miles Harden is the number one guy that I'm attacking right away, because he's new at the nickel position. I know he played it last year, but it was probably his first year playing nickel. So I'm attacking him. I want to see if those guys are able to go. And then I'm actually looking at some of the backup corners, because we know guys get hurt in the secondary. If one of those guys go down, can you name me a corner not named Tyson Campbell or Denzel Ward?
No.
That's exactly my point. So with that being said, I need to see the depth of the DBs, because that is an area that we continue to ignore, and I don't understand why.
Well, strap on a uniform, man, and show them what it's like.
I gotta go see my people at QC Kinetics to get to get me some injections in my knee, and then we can talk about
it. Right. No Miles Garrett, no Jim Schwartz. Maybe they need you, pal. Good to have you aboard, as always. Talk to you soon.
See y'all later. Go Bucks. Go Browns. Shout out to Chase. Go Cavs. Go Guards. Beat the Reds. Ohio Cup is ours. Take that, Matty Ice. Free Classe. Take Ortiz. And Mark McGuire didn't take no steroids. I'm out.
Oh, my God. And what is he trying to get? Is he going to wear a Chase patch on his, you know, polo or whatever during T-Bone and Tyvus every morning?
What he meant was shout out to Chase Burns, who's pitching for the Reds today. Isn't that what he said?
I think he's trying to get a little endorsement with Chase going.
But I'm going to say shout out that he said shout out to Chase Burns.
Shout out to Chase Burns. Shout out to Chase Bank as well.
You could have made a fortune on Kalshi if you picked Tyvus Powell's closing remark being Mark McGuire didn't take steroids. His brother wrote a book admitting he did.
Yeah, exactly. They do not, he's not going to be on the legal team defending. Your Honor, he didn't take him. What evidence do you have? He didn't take him. All right, we're coming back, and Maddie, get to the choppa. There's a guy that might be doing it. Rothman.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Burn.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. These two have a ton in common. Anthony loves hockey, and Maddie's always cold. This is Rothman and Ice.
See, Maddie, I told you it wasn't all about the money for LeBron.
The deal is two for eight?
Yeah.
Two for eight.
When you're the only active player to reach billionaire status,
you're good.
Usually it is about the money, but it's not.
Yeah, 2 for 8 with a player option in year two. So, hey. Respect. I respect it, man.
You might give it all back to the community. Who knows? Well, the interesting part about LeBron is that he is reportedly toying with living in New York while playing for Philadelphia.
Okay.
You know the old joke, man, does he really go to school here? I just thought they flew him in for games. So if he's going to commute to Philly, not the way you or I would, he is risking, which you can as a billionaire, double taxation. Like, so New York City is also trying to ban helicopters.
Why? What's their beef with helicopters?
Oh, maybe they're dangerous. I don't know. Several basketball insiders posted on X this weekend that James could commute by choppa. Get to the choppa. And noted NBA insider Shams Charania said the option to live in New York while commuting to the Sixers practices and games by helicopter added to Philadelphia's appeal. Please tell me that's not wasn't a big percentage of his decision. He has not told people where he is going to live.
Nor should he. Nor should he.
I think you could say the city.
I don't even know about that. I think you want to keep that as discreet as you possibly can.
Be a super commuter. Now, it isn't easy on taxes. New York wasn't, I guess, a hypothetical for him, right? I mean, this wasn't. Rich Paul just won it all.
Rich Paul came out and said, if the Knicks didn't win the championship, that's where Bron was going. So, which I was like, okay. That's pretty. Very honest, but yeah, he's not
delivering one to New York would have had an appeal.
Oh my gosh, that would have been massive if he could have done that. Yeah, LeBron taking a, what is it? Did you say how long the flight? Probably 45 minutes. whatever it is.
A helicopter flight?
What's that from Philly to New York and New York to Philly? Can't be more than...
You could. Could you drive it in a couple hours? So
probably two and a half, three.
I mean, a helicopter, you'd be there in 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah, I understand that. Probably mapped out some cool
opportunities.
Penthouse in New York somewhere that's worth $10, $20 million that is private and all of those things. So this isn't the first time we've heard things like this. Kobe would take the helicopter to games. Wow. Kawhi asked for a whole bunch of crazy stuff when he got to LA as far as where he wanted to live and all of that. So when you are a player of this caliber, especially in the NBA, a lot of these things are available for you to make these type of decisions.
Even though you're taking a 90% pay cut or whatever he's going to be.
Yeah, but like you said, when you look at all the zeros in your bank account at age 41, 42, I think you can... feel good about that decision at this point in time. So when I saw that, it's not surprising to hear that at all. And I don't really think it's going to be an issue either. As long as he's there.
So he wouldn't be the first Sixer to make that exact trip. Okay. J.J. Redick, Coach LeBron with the Lakers.
Lives in Brooklyn.
Commuted from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
To Philly while playing for the Sixers for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly Wilt Chamberlain, who scored a lot of points in a game. Did something similar decades earlier. Living in New York during the season, played for Philly, and he ran a nightclub in Harlem.
That's amazing.
The appeal of the helicopter option, it says here, is speed. A helicopter flight, you asked the question, I didn't have the answer before, I have it now. A helicopter flight between New York and Philly takes about 45 minutes.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
The car ride would be an hour and a half. Charter operators already run the route regularly, connecting multiple Manhattan lounges to several Philadelphia heliports.
I would like, if I could set this lifestyle up for you, would you take it? If let's say in Indiana, up in Michigan, somewhere close-ish, there was your dream, let's say, golf course. I was going to build you a mansion on that golf course, but you still had to work here at the Fan. You can't do the show on Zoom. I need you physically here. But I got a chopper for you every day. Would you do it? Dream golf course, dream crib, all the dogs you want. I got everything there. But you got to fly back and forth.
I got all that.
You're doing it.
But if I got all that, what do I need this?
Because you got me here.
Okay.
What do you mean? Yeah, me.
You're the only one that still wants to work here with all the money in the world.
But would you do that? I got a 45-minute helicopter ride for you.
If you made me do both and I could have that if I kept this.
That would be worth it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he buys real estate in New York rather than rent. I guess he'll run into another cost because there's all this taxing and surcharges and a part-time New York residence. It says even for a player calling another city home for tax and team purposes would sit squarely in the taxes target zone.
You know what's not going to surprise me? You know what's not going to surprise me? Is if J.J. Redick was like, Bron, just stay at my crib in Brooklyn. Just stay there. You don't even have to buy a whole new house.
What, rent his place?
I don't even think he'd charge him. Like JJ, obviously that was his coach. I don't know. I don't think I would for one of my guys. Like if I had a crib for you to live in and it's just sitting there and I'm in LA, for which JJ will be for the majority of the year, and I got a house in Brooklyn, I'd be like, hey, or just stay there. I'd have no problem with that. So that wouldn't surprise me if that's the play. If JJ was like, hey,
I think he'll offer him some money. I mean, I think there'd be some financial.
I think Bron would then probably say, I got something for you. But I don't know if JJ's saying, yeah, Bron, here's the price. Here's the rent for staying here.
New York City has no income tax on non-residents who work there. So a Philadelphia resident commuting into Manhattan pays nothing to the city itself, but I guess still subject to New York state taxes on the wages. But
I think TLC, what we just found out is if AR had a crib for you and I to stay in, we couldn't just stay there. He'd be like, where's the money?
Oh,
I think that's what we just found out.
No free rides?
No.
You guys could stay there. I just feel like, I don't know if you guys would, quote, want to take advantage. I don't think LeBron would want to take advantage of it. He doesn't need to.
Oh, I would.
You think absolutely. If JJ said, okay, you can have it for free, LeBron wouldn't give him anything?
No, that's what I said. I think Bron would do something for him. But I don't think Braun's going to be like, no.
The moral to this story is it's been done before, and I didn't really know that. Yeah. I didn't know that there are guys that have done this, and sounds like Reddick. And
stories about James Harden doing this in Houston when he was at the peak of his powers, too. He wasn't even taking the team plane back. He was going to clubs somewhere.
You know my original prediction when NIL first jumped off, and I said it to you on the show. I go, let me know when the first college football player says to his coach, see you Saturday. Wait a minute. The team plane leaves on Friday.
Yeah, I got this pizza.
It's all right.
I got this pizza.
I'll be there.
Yeah. Make a little pit stop, too.
Let me know when that's going to happen. I know there's been an endorsement of that, but it's never been in the middle of the season. It's never been. Yeah. Guys have had wheels off or other things, but they never said, I'm going to take my own transportation to the game. Like if somebody, if Jeremiah Smith said, going to I'll see you in Austin on Saturday. No, no, we're leaving on, we're leaving Thursday or whatever.
Coach Day probably like, yeah, I'll see you there.
Now I'm good.
Jeremiah, yeah, I'll see you there. Oh, by the way,
happened yet.
I talked trash to Tyvis Powell and Kyle Manzardo just hit a grand slam off Chase Burns. So yeah, that's what happens when I talk trash. So there you go, Kyle Manzardo. Guardian fans, you're up 4-0. Reds fans, you can blame me.
That is unreal. We both have them in fantasy.
You can blame me, Reds fans. That's on me. Yep, 4-0 guards, top of the first. Kyle Manzardo, he gone.
That's what they call a day ruiner in fantasy.
That's tough.
Come back top of the hour, get into a deep dive. Third hour will consist of Ian Fitzsimmons as well at 2:30. And the Big Ten, are they really just the Big Three? We'll talk about it next.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State announced its 36 varsity sports will wear Chase Bank jersey patches this year as part of a landmark deal with JPMorgan Chase worth a reported $17 million annually. Ohio State's one of four Big Ten schools to have a corporate partner jersey patch, joining Michigan State, Illinois, and Wisconsin. College football Big Ten Media Days are underway. While Ohio State will speak tomorrow, two of those representatives earned preseason All-Big Ten honors this morning in Julian Sand and Jeremiah Smith. Head coach Ryan Day will talk about his team Wednesday at 1:15. NFL training camp starts today for the Bengals and Browns. Former Brown Baker Mayfield is reporting to the Buccaneers camp without a new deal, and sources tell ESPN there has been no significant progress on an extension. Baseball today, Reds and Guardians are underway in Cincinnati for game one of a split doubleheader. Game two to follow at 7:10. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
Final hour of the program, Rothman and Ice. Maddie, I've just uncovered some very good news that only you and I will care about.
Well, Reds fans too.
Not this specific news. The Reds are down 4-0 in the first, and none of the runs were earned. So Chase Burns.
Hey, that ERA is sitting pretty.
That ERA is just looking fine.
We're good.
And he's 0.00.
Yeah, that's
GPA. Daniel Simpson Day has no grade point average. All courses incomplete.
What's
in it for you if you get it?
Ooh,
what should I give you?
A gift card to
The
$20 gift card to BB Bop. Deal?
One guess.
Yes. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh,
darn it. I thought you were trying to fool me with trickery.
No, I wasn't fooling you with anything. I mean, the fact that I agreed to it, maybe probably should have sent you to somewhere else, because you know when in doubt, always say Fast Times. But
what was the movie?
Animal House.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I should have relied on TLC.
I don't know if he would have gotten that one.
We still doing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Celebrity editions last night. Larry David and his daughter were on, and Kimmel was doing it, and I was actually, it's the first time I've watched the show in years.
Is it a thing, though, for regular folk, or is it just one-off for celebrities?
Like, I think it's celebrities.
Okay.
But and I think their lifelines were other celebrities.
I used to love that show. Watching that with my parents. I used to love Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Until that one guy actually made it to the top and kind of ruined it all.
Something Carpenter?
Oh, Bobby?
Perhaps
Karen? Relative? Bobby messing up?
The guy who called it his dad and said...
Oh, called his dad because he already knew the answer.
Yeah. I'm going to say, was his name James Carpenter? This makes its way in my algorithm like once a year. James, if I
that
just...
might be a good pull by you.
If I just James,
there'll be no
James
gift card
Carpenter.
Involved on this one.
Who wants... No.
Not him? Not James?
John Carpenter.
Okay.
Now, if you would have said Jim...
Yeah. First ever $1 million winner in November of 99.
Wow, and wasn't the... Wasn't the question something about Nixon?
Yes. What show did he appear on or something?
Yeah.
And he had one lifeline left on the final question. And so he called
phone a friend.
He called his dad for a phone a friend. Yeah.
I got the quote.
And, said, dad, and he said, I don't actually need your help. I'm just letting you know that I'm a millionaire.
Yes.
How about it?
I just
By the way,
to
that may
know.
Be the best flex. Go ahead. What do you say, no, Maddie?
You guys are all over it. It's just, I just wanted to let you know I'm going to win the $1 million.
What did his dad say?
I don't know.
Was there any reaction? Something.
Congrats, son.
About time you paid me back.
According to Google here, your boy John Carpenter was an IRS agent?
Sure.
Oh, come on.
Why not?
You can't make that up.
I guess so. But man, 1999, it's been that long, huh?
Wow. Well, you remember it. That's good.
Yeah. Getting up there.
I didn't think you remembered any of that.
I remember a lot.
Who's the other? He's got it.
Which of these U.S. presidents appeared on the television series Laugh-In? Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford.
I like to call my parents right now.
Sure.
Use my lifeline, call my parents.
What are their names?
My father. I'll talk to my father.
Does
Tom.
He have a name? Tom.
He does have a name.
Does he have a name?
Okay. Our friends at AT&T will get your dad on the line, and we'll see if he can help you.
Oh, the
Hello?
Drama.
Hello, Tom.
Yeah.
Hi, Regis Philbin here from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Hi.
We've got your son, John, with us right now. He's doing pretty well.
Good.
He's won $500,000.
Wow.
And he's going for $1 million. And he needs your help to get there.
Okay.
So he's going to come on the line, read a question, four possible answers. One of them is the right answer. And the next voice you hear will be John's. John, you've got 30 seconds. Starts right now.
Hi, Dad.
Hi.
I don't really need your help, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to win $1 million.
As good as it gets.
The clock is running, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's down to 15 seconds.
Oh, if he would have gotten distracted.
He's at 10.
Dude,
Because the U.S. president appeared on Laugh-In as Richard Nixon, that's my final answer.
Well, my gosh. What can I say except, Debbie, you're going to Paris, and this is the final answer heard all around the world. He's won $1 million.
First one, August 19th, 1999. So he was 31 at the time. And you're right, worked for the IRS. He had been married for only a year and a half. And so he got it by answering all 15 correctly. He didn't use any lifelines, by the way, until that final one that he didn't need. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's
I mean, is that unbelievable?
Yeah, that's pretty dope. Remind me of the other levers you could pull as a contestant.
50-50.
Yes.
You take two of the wrong answers away.
Phone a friend,
and then pull the audience.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
So this is a quote from him now, 27 years later. So he's what, like 58? Something. All right. So he goes, I don't want to seem overly cocky. From the first show, I knew just about all the answers. I sort of expected to win $1 million. Now, since earning it, his life has relatively stayed the same. He still works for the IRS.
Okay.
And they have a son, and he says he remains kind of a frugal guy. Like, he's not, you know, I mean, he paid taxes on it, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the legacy part of it, being the first, and having it end that way and not having, like, you talk about a no stress answer. I mean, I wonder if there was, like, if you asked him, was there part of you that even questioned it at all? Like, that there's something tricky about it or whatever. No, nope.
No, I'm just calling the rents and telling them, hey, your son just became a millionaire.
Then I forgot about this. So he became a little bit famous pop culture wise after it. One day after that episode aired, Carpenter appeared on SNL where he shared the stage with Jennifer Aniston.
Come on.
He goes, I went from total obscurity. This is not my life. This is surreal. I thought the highlight of my 15 minutes of fame would be an interview with, like, the wacky guys on the radio in Connecticut.
About to say us?
He also made guest appearances on Good Morning America, Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood, Late Night with David Letterman, and, of course, Live with Regis and Kathy Lee.
Can I ask a question?
He said, Tony Bennett stopped by my dressing room and told me... That was the best thing he'd ever seen on TV. I mean, what a life.
I got a question I'm scared to ask, but I got to ask it.
How much has he spent?
Well, that's an important one, too. What's Regis up to?
No, nope.
Yeah. I was kind of there in my gut, but when did we lose Regis?
I'm going to say 2020.
Yeah, it was during COVID.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah. I mean,
because he appeared on one of the early episodes of this revamp with Jimmy Kimmel hosting it.
Yeah.
Notre Dame guy, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Big time.
Well, he was on the sideline. All right. I believe I have this right. I believe that he was on the sideline at Ohio Stadium when I was there, when they were playing Notre Dame, and Jack Arute, I believe, was interviewing him. And Terry Glenn is taking a slant to the house or something's happening. Or maybe Demetrius was taking back a kick. Like, I'm trying to remember what the highlight was. And they had to break away from the interview because the Buckeyes were about to...
Hey, Regis, hold on. Hold on,
big dog. Am I right, TLC, on that?
I will have this in the next segment.
Please do. I'll look forward to that. Rothman and Ice.
How to work.
Here at The Fan, we love summer as much as the next guy. Fun times at the pool, family vacations, all that crap. But as the dog days descend upon us, it only means one thing. Buckeye Football Fall Camp. Join us beginning August 6th. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Skies gradually turn partly cloudy throughout the afternoon. Still fairly humid out there with highs in the mid-80s and a very slight chance of a pop-up shower this evening. Overnight, turning mostly clear, lows are in the lower 60s. Less humid on Wednesday. It'll be a really nice day under a mostly sunny sky with highs in the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. Rockman and Ice present... Pre-snap reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, before we get to that incredible highlight, I believe back in 95, I remember being there and Regis being on the sideline and just flexing, talking about how they were going to win. And meanwhile, something was going on. But I will tell you this. That Ohio State and J.P. Morgan Chase, that comes in at, what, $17 million, you said?
Mm-hmm. That's the report from Pete Thamel.
It looks like Notre Dame, this all fits the scenario, which is amazing. Nothing of this was planned, this Ohio State-Notre Dame thing. But Notre Dame just did a jersey patch with SoFi.
For $18
million. $18 to $20 million.
Take that.
And it's expected to be the richest jersey sponsorship in college athletics history. Ugh. So right after Ohio State gets $17 million, they come in about $18 to $20 million.
Yep.
It's good business, man. By both. It's good stuff. And Marcus right now, you look at the recruiting stuff he's got going on too. He's rocking and rolling over there in South Bend. And this is only going to help that. So for both Notre Dame and Ohio State.
$20 million.
It's good stuff, man.
Funny thing is, I didn't even know that it was $18 million until, like, the way that you set it up. I'm like, we had to
respect to you guys. You let Ohio State have their morning to afternoon of
that got us an extra tight end or something.
You guys are starting to become the off season squad for people. I'm noticing that.
Yeah,
like a lot of the brackets people are putting out there. It's a lot of Notre Dame in the semifinal, Notre Dame in the Natty, Notre Dame winning the Natty. You guys are that team that people are. Really starting to warm up to, TLC.
The one thing that worries me is that Notre Dame last year against good teams in the past couple years has not supplied a pass rush that I think would be adequate for winning a championship. They're very deep on the O-line because they've had injuries and the backups have come in and played well. So love the quarterback, love the offensive line. That's a fantastic start.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary is freaky good. The one thing with Notre Dame that if they don't win at all, that I can already forecast why they won't win at all, is because against really good teams, they won't be pressuring the quarterback enough.
And you guys only have on your schedule one really good team on paper right now. Miami?
Yeah, so that's the scary thing about it is that...
Yeah, but they're protected.
Like...
No, I'm just saying, like, as far as his point about facing, like, competition along the way,
right.
They're probably not going to face much resistance.
Right. And
you
so
have
that,
a top 10 defense overall.
Yes. The linebackers are really good. The defensive backs are really good.
A top 10 defense attached to a really good quarterback and a good offensive line. It's a good place to be.
Notre Dame's regular season is set.
But no Jeremiah Love, no Jadarian Price.
Like, fine by me.
It would be ironic that this would be the year without those guys.
I think they've got the guy under center, you know, to make up for that this year. I think he's ready to handle a lot more work. Mm-hmm.
So I think Notre Dame's defensive line is not going to be fully battle-tested until the playoffs. Yeah. And so even if they look good in the regular season, that might be something where that's where it starts to look different against a really good team because that's what it was last year.
And that Miami game's not until November 7th.
Right.
I'm looking at your roster right now. You do have this kid, the kid that came in from Pitt. He's on your D-line. And then,
or something?
Yeah. And then you have the freshman, Rodney Dunham. Where did he come from?
Myers Park, North Carolina.
He's good.
Yeah.
And he's young. So you're right.
So five-star, but also true freshman. So we have Bryant Young's son, Bryce Young, and he's a guy who everybody talks about, but they kind of talk about him because he's like a measurement king.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's 6'7", and so like he looks the part and all that stuff, but the production doesn't fully match the like what he looks like on paper. So that's somebody that people are going to talk about heading into the season about like he's going to be great. Like hopefully.
And the other thing too that I'm going to be monitoring is the Mylon Graham Quincy Porter combination versus what we get, let's say, from Brandon Ennis, Chris Henry.
Yeah,
that's going to be very interesting early on to see, right? Because we know what Jeremiah is going to do attached to Julian. But the other playmakers for Ohio State versus the guys that left and specifically went to Notre Dame, that's going to be fun for me to watch this year, especially early on. If Mylon Graham and Quincy Porter carve out a role to where they're going to be out there on the field right away.
So back in 95, Regis was brought down from the box, it looks like, to go to the sideline to do an interview. And he was wearing a Rivalry Renewed shirt that had Ohio State Notre Dame featured on it. And so he's doing the interview. Do you have this?
I do.
All right, so let me set it up.
Let me ask you a question, by the way, because I'm skimming through, I'm looking for the highlight, and I finally got what we're looking for. Was Lou Holtz wearing a neck brace in this game?
Yes, he was.
What happened to Lou?
I don't remember why.
He's on the sideline.
He did.
Walking up and down in a neck brace.
Yeah, I don't. He had, was it a back surgery he had or a neck? Like he had a neck.
He had a procedure, certainly.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah. Which is amazing because it's kind of scary if he got rolled or somebody came to that sideline.
Serious.
I mean, he probably should have been coaching from the booth.
Probably.
Or like that's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, but.
You know how these coaches are, man.
He was a dog.
These are hard headed.
Yeah. All right. So. 95, Notre Dame got the kick before the third quarter. So it's, Buckeyes were in the locker room, they were down three. And Notre Dame gets the ball to start the third. They added a field goal, they gave the ball back to Ohio State, so it's 20-14. And they forced a punt within the next handful of plays. But then Notre Dame muffed it, and Ohio State got it back. And
are you doing this from memory?
No, I'm looking at the box score. And so 21-20, Ohio State's up. And this is the next possession. Sean Springs got a pick. And then during the change of possession, this is Regis now being the proud Notre Dame alum. And this was third down. Buckeyes are in their own red zone. They don't want to give the ball back to Notre Dame. And this is when Philbin jumped on, I believe, with Jack Arut.
Yeah, it was not him.
It wasn't?
Maybe you can recognize the voice. I don't know. But this may be across one play or multiple plays. We'll find out.
Here's Schwenning.
Thank you, Keith. This man has to be the biggest Notre Dame fan in all of the country. I know you're a little disappointed right now.
You know, ever since you guys called me down here, we've taken a turn for the worse. I'm really aggravated. Lynn, I'm sitting up there, we're winning. I come down here, we're losing.
Well, why do you think that is, Regis?
Breaks. A big break. You got to admit that. But we're coming back. You watch. We're going to bottle them up now. Paulus, Kinda, Mark Edwards. We got this. We got a lock on it. We're going to win.
Lou Holtz is only one man, but he's doing a heck of a job.
Doing a good job for one guy.
Keith?
And there's an 82-yard break there for Ohio State.
They cut back to him, by the way. I remember. It's the loudest I've ever heard it in the stadium. Me, personally.
You can't even hear Keith Jackson.
That's
and there's Lou Holtz.
The loudest I've ever experienced in that stadium.
Great recall by you. Good stuff by you, TLC, to pull that. When I hearing Regis, like, I heard a little Joe Pesci in there.
Like, yeah, his cage.
Joe Pesci.
His cage.
In his
voice. Out of control.
In his cage.
Like, yeah, that was
right,
him.
Right there.
Yeah.
I looked this up during the break. Because for some reason, when I think about celebrities and athletes, I'm always like, oh, you know, how much are they worth? How much money did they make?
I don't know how anybody really knows.
Give me a guess on what you think Regis made in his career.
Oh, my. I mean, $300 million.
AR?
Well, you know what? This is.
I was going to go a little under that.
Let me
I was going to go somewhere
backwards, actually.
I'm going to say probably $100 million or $125 million.
What's your final answer?
I'll slightly reverse inflate, and I'll go $270 million.
Regis Philbin, $150 million.
That's you. Mm-hmm. Well, no, not that one.
Playing stadium music.
Yeah. You got to remember the years he worked.
So, like, according to Google, it's saying that
amazing.
During the Regis and Kelly run, that was about $20 million per year. And so that's not including Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It looks like Million Dollar Password was another game show. But apparently he held, and I don't know if he still holds, but the Guinness World Record for the most hours on U.S. television. Over 16,700 hours on U.S. television. Now my mind goes to, well, who's closest to him? Is there someone currently on TV that would be close to breaking that record? It's got to be somebody that's been on TV for decades that's still doing it. Is there anybody?
Not still. You said how many hours?
16,700 hours. And this is held the Guinness, so I don't know if it still stands or not. But I'm just, is there anybody that we can think of that's been on TV for a long, long time that would be
it? It used to be the longevity of, like, the network news anchor.
Uh-huh.
Like a Dan Rather, Peter Jennings. Like, I would think that would.
Like, I wonder how many hours Julie Chen Moonves has, the host of Big Brother.
She's
hosted that show for 20 plus years.
Oh, you know who would probably have her beat is Jeff Probst.
Survivor?
Yeah.
He's got to be up there. Yeah. Got to be. So,
what about like Johnny Carson or Letterman or one of those?
I was thinking in that
Kimmel and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They, yeah. Okay. I'll look
by the way, I was almost super disrespectful. I meant to play your theme music when you did something well. I accidentally clicked on Gary Anderson missed kick. That would have
been
the total
end of the segment.
Why you have it, just play it.
No,
while we're there.
No, I was trying to celebrate.
Oh, now
we're trying to celebrate.
But it's got to be like the timing of it has to be right.
Oh, now we have clock integrity.
No, but I mean, you can't run it out of context.
If it was the Tyler Loop miss field goal, we'd be playing it.
No, only if there was a reason to play it. It's got to be in context. By the way, you just played it last week when you were gone. That's why it's still in there.
I haven't heard it. You know, I need the Favre interception.
What was the reason we played it last week?
Bobby had to have been in that day.
Probably just
probably Monday. That's right. Ian Fitzsimmons is in Chi-Town.
Yep.
And he'll join us in 2 minutes. Rothman.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The
Daddy's favorite show is Big Brother. Don't read into it. He's only watching strangers through hidden cameras. You're listening to Rothman and Creepy Stalker Guy.
All right, I believe he's landed in Chi-Town, which means that I want him to do a hard target search of every warehouse, farmhouse, henhouse, outhouse, and doghouse in the area. Your fugitive's name is Richard Kimball. Go get him. Are you there? Are you at the Hilton?
I am at the Hilton where the chase took place. I'm actually right now talking to you from the ballroom where Richard Kimball went in and outed his doctor buddy. And I can't remember the doctor buddy's name, right? But, yeah, the whole scene of him getting hit in the right in the head with the in the laundry. Yeah, that's where I am right now, brother, right here, where they cuffed Dr. Richard Kimball and let him off as an innocent man in the squad cars. Yes. Which, by the way, if it was St. Patrick's Day, I would be Dr. Richard Kimball and go march in a St. Patrick's Day parade as a random human. So there you go, right there.
Yeah. Tell us if you run into Samuel Gerard anywhere. That's awesome. So you're there. So that's cool.
Tommy Lee Jones made that look yeah. good, by the way, man. The overcoat, the tie,
jeans,
the power tie, white shirt, jeans, and the boots. There you go.
You know what? I'm old enough. I'll admit, like the sport jacket and jeans, I don't even know if that still exists anymore, but it worked.
I'm rocking it tonight. Man. I'm going to Gibson's on a rush. Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic.
And I will be sport coat, jeans, and a dress shirt right there, Bubba.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get down to it. Is the Big Ten really the Big Three? Is there anybody that's going to crash this playoff party this year in your mind? Who's the wild card?
USC. They're good, man. And I know everyone in Columbus right now is rolling their eyes. They don't play defense. Well, it's not saying a lot, right? This is by far the most talented defensive unit that Lincoln Riley's had out there at USC. The O-line is pretty much intact. You got to replace Mekhi Lemon, who's going to just, turn the heads in Philadelphia. But they have two young, one freshman, one sophomore wide out that are just absolute legit. They got depth at running back. They're good, man. They are really good. So if you're asking for one team that's a surprise out of this conference, I'm going to give you the men of Troy because we're all talking about Oregon. We're all talking about Ohio State. I think Kyle Whittingham, is a 9-win type team up there in Michigan and Ann Arbor. But you're asking for a dark horse and someone to come out of left field. Yeah, I'm going to give you the men of Troy.
If Fitzy could have a steak dinner tonight with a couple, glasses of wine or whatever it may be, with one Big Ten head coach, who would it be and why?
Damn, that's a good one, man. I know Lanning so well, I'd probably go with Coach Lanning, or if I'm trying to get to know, and I know Lincoln really well, going back to his days, heck, man, with a Ruffin Muffin, Ruffin McNeil at East Carolina. So I might go with someone that I don't know as well. Like, I've gotten to know, when I was embedded with your Buckeyes, man, for that remarkable title run, I got to know Coach Day a little bit, but not in a social setting. So I might actually go right there, man. I might stay in Columbus and say, hey, dinner's on me. Let's go.
I mean, the most bizarre guy is Sig, right? Like, Sig would be outlier. Look, like, he would be the...
But I know him a little bit going back to his days on Saban's staff. Now, not in a social setting, but Sig would just be unplugged, and you put a little of that truth serum in him. Oh, my God. That would be absolutely phenomenal.
Who would you least want to have dinner with?
You're such an ass.
I know.
That's a tough one, man.
I know.
Hey, Bob, I'm about to throw some back at you guys that I'm asking coaches, and my daughters came up with some of these crazy questions that you hear tonight on ESPN Radio. But, man, at least, God dang, man.
I mean, it could be.
Barry Odom at Purdue. I mean, the pride of 8 Oklahoma. I know him a little bit. So, yeah, you're not going to get – put it this way. You're not leaving the steakhouse and going for a final after that with Coach Odom.
Well, that's good because, honestly, I didn't even know he was the head coach. Honestly, I don't think I could have – where's Walters? What happened to him? Like, I don't even – they're such a off-the-radar to me. If I would have said, well, who is the coach at Purdue? Bielema might strap on a feeding bag with you there.
Dude, I have been out many a time with Bielema. Going back to Nick and Sam's in Dallas and on down the line, he ain't afraid, and he'll tell you about it. I mean, hey, watch out, man. That bottle of Crown's about to get dominated, and we're going to get down to three-point stance and attack some food, baby. There's going to be taters. There might be a veggie. It ain't going to be a little petite filet on that play man's plate. I promise you, that's a damn tomahawk ribeye that's about to get crushed.
You know what's interesting is that, and you'll probably know this. So I said to Maddie at some of these places, maybe this just makes me old. I said, get a twice-baked potato. And he's like, I didn't grow up with them, didn't really know what they were. And I just, it's a home run. It's like mashed potato. How would you explain it to him?
All right. So look, man, my twice baked potato, I'll put up against anybody. I mean, I'll take the Pepsi challenge and I'm going to whip your ass. I mean, it's over. So you get your tater, right? Big ones. You got to get the big ones. You go ahead and cook them and then you gut them. So you cut them in half and you have a boat. Right. And you take the guts of the tater with your sour cream, your chives, your butter, some Tony Sacheries, which is a Cajun seasoning, some of that in there, a little garlic and pepper salt. Oh, my gosh, folks. Now, and you got not the pre-made bacon bits. You got to make your own thick cut bacon and chop it up. Get the good stuff, the double smoke from Whole Paycheck. That'd be Whole Foods. I call it Whole Paycheck because you got to bring your whole damn paycheck in there to pay for what you're buying. But then you chop those bacon bits up. You mix it all together in that big old mixing bowl, and then you fill in the boat again. Throw them back in the oven for 10 minutes. A little crispy on top. Bam, Dominique. There you go.
So it's just dressed up mashed potatoes.
Well, but it's in the skin. You throw it back in.
It's mashed potatoes
cheese,
in the skin.
There's cheese.
It's a little more than just
mashed potatoes. The onions, the salt, the Tony Sacheries. What are you, nuts?
No,
get him out of there.
It's dressed up mashed potatoes in
Turn
the skin.
His mic off.
That's what it is.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing.
And all the protein's in the skin, and you eat the whole thing.
It's good, man.
Yeah, okay. It sounds okay. It sounds okay. I got to be honest. And I love potatoes.
Okay.
But
dude, it's fluffy. It's awesome. It's crispy with the skin.
It's
awesome. Anyway.
With a properly cooked steak that's crispy on the outside, medium rare on the interior.
Okay.
Crush it.
Maybe I just need to get down to Texas and you'll have us over and I'll try it then.
Come on. Buckeyes are back in the Cotton Bowl, brother. Come on with it. I got you.
Are you going to win in Rome in Chicago? Like, do you have to deep dish when you're in Chicago or you're like, I'm good?
No, man. Yeah. I'm too fat already, dude. We got the season coming up in about a month. I had to get down to my birthday suit every year for my wife, which actually ends up being a fun time, but the weight measurement is never good. So I got about another 10 to go, brother. So there ain't gonna be any deep dish going on. Now let me throw a couple of these questions at you guys, because these are some of the ones my daughters come with that I ask all the coaches at whether it's SEC or Big Ten media days, wherever I am. You ready? Here's a couple for you. Which coach carries the in the Big Ten carries the most cash in their wallet?
Ooh. Most cash in the wallet. So I'd have to go with someone a little on the older side.
That's what Lincoln Riley went. I know where you're going. You might hit. This has been a popular one so far. Go ahead.
Whittingham?
Shiano?
No, you both.
Ferentz.
Ferentz has been one.
All right.
Bielema said me. She goes, him. He goes, right here. I love cash.
Yeah.
Right here.
Cash is king with the old dudes. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Which coach? That's why Lincoln went with Ferentz. Which coach is most likely to talk their way out of a speeding ticket?
Lanning.
Damn, that was quick.
Why did you say Lanning? I'm just curious.
He's a chirper. He's an outspoken guy.
Okay. All right.
I think I could apply the same thing to Cignetti. What I just said.
Which coach, when the dinner tab shows up, goes and hits the head?
Who would go do that?
This one's been all over the board.
Who would go do that? I don't know what. See, how would you even be able to guess that? Who makes the least? Who makes the least, or who's the cheapest?
I can tell you. I can tell you. ACC Belichick got voted number one.
Who would hit the head when the check comes?
I know you guys have your integrity.
It wouldn't be Fitzy, not back in his hometown. Like, I don't think that would be it in Chicago.
No. This has been all over the board. Just pick one, and then you can explain to Maddie why you went with it.
Probably Lincoln Riley.
Okay, I got another one for you. This has been the best one. This is the one to get them all. Ready?
Yeah.
What, you're at the bar. Which Big Ten coach is most likely to steal your drink?
Ooh. Steal your
girl. I thought he was going to say steal your girl.
Bielema? He feels like he'd be a double fisting type of guy at the bar. I'm going Bielema.
It's Bielema. He'd have it down his gullet in a half a second, and you would never know. He'd say, look that way. And then it'd be gone.
Oh, man. Overwhelming number one right there.
You're the man.
Right, boy. Good stuff. Good stuff.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you, Fitzy. Thanks, man.
Have fun at Gibson's. It's outstanding. Yeah, that's good. I think they did a scene from The League at Gibson's, or at least it was like a fictional.
Okay.
Like,
very Gibson's. Underrated show. Or maybe it's properly rated. I love The League.
No, I think it's underrated.
Yeah, I do too. The celebrity and athlete appearances Fantasy in the stuff. Show. Like, yeah, it was
you know,
cool.
We were talking about Brooklyn Decker last week because of Andy Roddick.
Yeah.
And do you remember when she did Gina Gibiotti? You remember when she played that character?
No.
As good as any actress could have done. Like,
yeah.
She
killed it, huh?
Yeah, I'll send you the clip. All right, so he's staying at the Fugitive Hotel. By the way, great cameos from Chicago TV guys at the end when they're putting him in the cop car and wheeling him out. At the very end, John Drummond, Lester Holt, network anchor. He was an anchor in Chicago. He's in that scene.
Really?
A lot of the extras at the end were real TV reporters.
Oh, that's cool.
Or anchors. Yeah. All right, we're coming back with Tell the Truth, Roth and Plumbing.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC. Maddie's Reds are on the board.
Let's go.
It's 4-1.
Was it Sal? Oh, yeah, it was Sal. Sal Stewart hit a little dinger for us. I'm in on that. So he
text Tyvus, tell him you guys are coming.
He and Chase Burns are usually in Ellie. Those are the guys I usually get excited about. So that's good to see. But yeah, bottom three, Guardians up 4-1 on the good guys.
Well, you mentioned dingers.
Oh yeah.
There's something that's, I'm not going to say it's unfair, but the fact that Maddie's guy Judge goes on the IL. And then he picks up James Wood, and he promptly hits two home runs in a game. Is just,
but then
it's
what,
cosmic.
But then what happened to me?
I don't care.
Juan Soto gets hurt again, and he's on
the same calf,
but he's on the 10-day IL. So I guess I'm stuck with this.
Yeah, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rory.
So yeah, I think based off of TLC's tone, the giddiness and the smile when he brought up the dinger draft, he's still the leader in the clubhouse.
I think the initial prediction of get your menus out, you guys figure out where I'm taking you, is almost a lock now. If this was on Kalshi, you would definitely be betting.
Oh, but when I said that I'm all good and I'm sitting high and mighty and we're all good over here, you guys are like, oh, he just printed the shirts on himself. Yeah, but now,
well, we tried. We tried to hope.
Yeah, and then I got cursed.
Now you guys are conceding to me.
All right, what is it?
Well, I'm not conceding anything yet.
Read them and weep.
So here's the thing that we need to update the people on. First of all, we made the rule before the season. If anybody were to go in the 60-day IL, that is when you can update your roster and basically call in a sub. You basically get the
big mistake on our part.
You have to work the waiver wire.
Everybody should have drafted six dudes, and then your alternate would have to go in, and if he was on the IL, then you could maybe pick another one.
Yeah.
The fact that you get to pick a guy, you don't get his home runs that he's had already, but you already know he's having an awesome season, so it gives you such a, at least a head start in who you get to hand pick a sub. But
yeah, but you never know when they're going to go cold, so there is risk there. But
should be like Caddyshack. We get to pick your guy.
So we've been talking about Aaron Judge, who was on Team Ice. He was on many 10-day ILs, and we actually didn't even know this rule. And so you talk about how this is BS. I actually think the person who should be calling BS on this is Matty Ice, because it was a 4 to 6 week injury, or maybe a 6 to 8 week injury. as it was initially reported for Aaron Judge. And we didn't know if you could count prior 10-day IL stints towards a 60-day. We didn't know if that was a rule or not. And we found out live in real time that you can do that. And so Aaron Judge, where we didn't, he kind of was like in between a 10-day and a 60-day. What was it going to be? Actually, all of his 10 days over the past month and a half count as time served. So they transitioned him to the 60-day IL, meaning that Matty Ice basically missed out on a month and a half of a substitute.
Which is BS. And so now I'm here to say that I think I should be able to pick someone up in Juan Soto's spot. Because that's the same thing that's going to happen. He's throwing out quotes of, I'm hoping I'll be back by the end of the season. Come on.
You're in the media. Go question him. Like, he's still...
I would like to make a substitute. Because this is going to happen for Juan Soto.
Well, first of all, let me announce I've had guys that have bounced in and out of IL. Like...
So, yeah, all that time served that counted towards Aaron Judge's 60-day, he was not placed on a 60-day IL.
I got royally screwed
until
that.
July 20th, is when Matty Ice texted me and said, I'm picking up James Wood, who has two home runs.
I never got that memo, by the way. When did you become the commissioner? I wasn't on that text string.
I told you right after he texted me.
I know.
I was in the room with you when he texted me, and I said that, and you go, what?
Exactly.
Right, what is he doing? I was doing some nefarious stuff when I wasn't here.
Pretty quiet since the All-Star break. So it's 105 for me, 102 for Ice, and 88 for Rothman.
I sent that text July 20th at 10:37 a.m.
Yep.
So I knew you'd catch wind of this.
I'll tell you what other rule that I was not aware of.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if this makes sense. So I was pretty happy when I saw that Chase Burns was not charged an earned run after he gave up a grand slam. And I thought, all right, even if guys got on board with a unearned, you know, getting on base, whether it's a walk or an error, I thought at least the guy that hit the home run would be credited because he hit the ball out of the stadium. But then I realized that I guess if it happens with two outs, they're going to reconstruct the inning based on the fact that, well, that guy never gets to the plate.
Yeah.
If there wasn't an error.
Yeah.
So now they reconstruct it, and everybody is unearned from that point forward.
Yep.
Which,
that doesn't make much
honestly,
sense. Unless it's like the ninth inning. The game should have been over.
It's basically called it should have ended.
Yeah.
Like if the inning should have ended. So if a pitcher gives up a home run, which Chase Burns did after a two-out error, and it keeps the inning alive, which it did, that every run is still unearned because the batter only came to the plate due to a defensive error.
His current line still reads four innings, four hits, four runs, zero
what a
earned
break.
Runs.
Yeah. What a break for us in fantasy today. Like massive. I was
that's
ready
what
to
it's
walk out
about.
When he gave up the granny. And then,
you're good, man.
So every run after, so every single run that scores after a two-out error, I did not realize this, is marked as unearned.
Yeah,
because it wouldn't have scored in a clean, error-free environment.
There you go.
And as we were talking about Regis Philbin having the Guinness World Record for the most recorded hours on television.
Yeah.
With a certified total of 16,746 and a half hours. We were trying to figure out who would be closest. The YouTube chat consensus is Ryan Seacrest.
Ooh, that's a good call.
As far as people who are on TV now.
Good call,
how about
chat?
Soap opera people that have been on for decades?
Yes.
Oh, man, that's a good
guess. There's got to be some actors or actresses that are one of those that have been doing it since they were in their 20s.
Who's the lady for Law & Order SVU? I mean, she's been on that show.
Mariska Hargitay.
Yes, she's got to be up there.
So I asked Google AI Overview.
Does that count if it's taped?
It's a good question.
I asked Google AI Overview to give me a 2 through 5 behind Regis. And they couldn't give official ones, but their best guess were Hugh Downs, Dave Garraway, Barbara Walters, and Johnny Carson.
Okay.
A lot of news and talk. All right, Matty. That'll do it. Tomorrow, Ryan Day at the podium from the Big Ten at 1:15. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Rothman and